And sports presentation. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation presents high school football.
The Patriots now plus 13 for their turnover ratio so far this year. There's a pitch play to Fowler as he gets outside and now hops back into the center of field. He's at the 15, at the 10. He's at the 5-yard line, touchdown. Fowler takes it in again. He was not even touched, Jimmy, as he takes it in from 21 yards out.
Today, it's live coverage of the Nebraska State Championships live from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. High school football on ESPN Radio is brought to you by the KXPN Sports Club.
Fake the fullback dive. Option to the short side. Wiseman cuts it up. Look out. 40, 35, 30. He is gone, and Sutton is in the lead. Wilt Fong, by the time he realized Wiseman was coming his way, was by him. A 46-yard touchdown run. Three big touchdown plays so far tonight for Sutton. Wiseman is near 200 yards on the night.
Six programs will hoist a state title trophy this season, and you can hear every game here on your ESPN Superstation. It's time to crown our next state champion, but first is the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll take you live to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln right after this word from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, our sixth state championship game, as we've already crowned five state champions, and now it's either going to be Omaha Gross or Firth Norris who's going to come away and join the likes of Miller North, Norfolk Catholic, David City Aquinas, Elgin Public, Elgin Pope John, and Giltner as coming away with state championships. Randy Bushka along with Jeff Babel here as we're going to crown one more state champion, last high school football game of the season. And Jeff, it doesn't seem possible that it's wrapping up this soon.
No, it feels just like yesterday. We were kicking off week zero for Class A and then a bunch of smaller C and D schools. And then slowly, week by week, it just seemed to, a lot of good football we've seen here in Central Nebraska. And it's finally culminating here in Lincoln. We've seen five great state championship games so far, and I think this one's going to be one of those ones that we kind of talked, just off break. It's going to be tough to diagnose.
It's a weird game because you have the fifth seed Omaha Gross coming in, and they're the five seed and the favorite because the other team, Norris, comes in as the number 10 seed. Norris started the season. Not the season, rather, but the playoffs, being in McCook, and they got past the Bison 26-21, and that was their closest game. Remember, they're the 10 seed. They beat the number 7 seed 26-21, and then they were able to take on second seed at Gretna, and they rolled Gretna 28-7, and then Aurora, one of the predominant teams in Class B, and they rolled them 52-13 in the state semifinals. For Omaha Gross, it's been a little bit different. They're the 5 seed, as we mentioned, and they got past Plattsmouth in the first round by a score of 45-21. That was their blowout because then they had a real hard-fought game against Omaha Scott. They won that one 9-6. And then in a strange fashion, they got past the defending state champion Elkhorn, getting past the Antlers 14-7. The Antlers scored late in the game to tie it at 7. They did a squib kick, and the tight end picks up the squib kick and takes it all the way back for a touchdown as they were able to actually get to the side, and their tight end Johnson was able to pick it up, and Jacob Johnson got the edge and on a squib kick took it back for a touchdown and essentially was one of the last plays of the ball game. And that's why they are here, and Norris is here, and two teams that are not predominant powers. This is the first trip to the finals here for Omaha Gross since 1983 when they were the runner-up. And the last time Norris was in the state finals was the last time they won a game in the state playoffs, which was back in 1979. So we're definitely, for the first time in these kids' lifetime, going to be crowning a state champion for one of these two schools in what has really been a very open year in Class B. Really a hard time. We mentioned it several times. It's hard to pick who the favorite was in Class B from week one, and even now that we're in the championship game, who's your favorite, the 5 seed or the 10 seed?
Well, in a situation like Class B, they seem to just be beating up on each other. You know, if you look at Norris, their one loss this year, or one of their two losses was to Gretna. They avenged that in the playoffs. And then Omaha Grove Catholic, they lost to Elkhorn week two, and then they avenged it last week. So Class B was one of those classes that we just couldn't find out who the favorite would be, who would be that team that want to step up and take the stranglehold. Well, come playoff time, it looks like it's been Norris and Omaha Gross. And basically going down to seeding in seeding-wise and ranking-wise, you would say that Omaha Gross would be the favorite. The X factor, I think, tonight, though, is going to be Norris's running back, the underdog team. They'll have the best player probably the state, and that's James Kruger. And if he can break loose, I think Norris will be able to pull the quote-unquote upset, even though in Class B, you know, it's really just who's going to be hot that day, it feels like.
Kruger running for just a shade under 2,200 yards on the season, and you know they like to run the football. Gross likes to run the football. Gross has thrown the ball 132 times. That's about 10 times a game, and that's just wild, open, wide open offense compared to Norris, who averages only 5 passes a game with their starting quarterback. So one team throws it 5 times a game, the other one throws it 10 times a game. We may not see 20 balls in the air outside of kicks and punts in this game, as these two teams really, their bread and butter obviously is running the football, and whoever does that going to come away with a state championship, no question about it. What is been an open class all year, and it's an open state championship game between Omaha Gross and the Norris Titans. I often refer to them as Firth Norris. They're just Norris High School and Omaha Gross. So we'll step away for just a few moments. When we come back, we'll have the starters between Gross and Norris. We'll do that as we continue with the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, you're a new leader. Contact Terry or Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. We'll take a break. We're back right after this with the starting lineup.
I asked my husband if I can join his fantasy league this year. He just laughed. Little did he know, I've been going to Cunningham's Journal for lunch every week. The perfect place for sports fans like myself to keep up with my favorite teams, and not to mention the food is so good. Anyways, a fantasy spot opened up, and guess who's laughing now? And winning. If you're an ultimate sports fan, enjoy a good lunch, a drink with friends, and live entertainment. The place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
The Tri-City Star invites you to join the chase for your hometown hockey team. Give thanks this week for 3 chances to watch the Tri-City Star. Wednesday night is Dollar Beer Night as the Storm battles the Sioux City Musketeers. Enjoy $1 Bud Light throughout the game. Then don't miss a special Black Friday game against the Omaha Lancers, featuring free tickets for kids 12 and under. And cap it all off with Star Wars Night on Saturday. As the Storm face off with the Des Moines Buccaneers. Get your tickets now at stormhockey.com.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. Let's give you our starting lineup, brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. We'll start, first of all, for the Norris Titans. They will be the visiting team. On their line, they'll start Dylan Dorshot. He is a 6-foot-tall, 205-pound junior. They'll start with Luke Mulholland, a senior, 5'10", 215 pounds. Jared Leesmeyer, also a senior, 5'10", he's 300 pounds. Jordan Dietz is a senior. He's 5'11", 195 pounds. Terrell Murray is a senior, 6'1", 215 pounds. And Tony Molny will also make the start. He's 6'6", 215 pounds, and a senior. The tight end, Preston Price, he is 5'11", 190 pounds. And Josh Gutzmer is also a tight end, a junior at 6'3", 165 pounds. One of the fullbacks will be Nick Davis. He's 5'11", 225-pound senior. James Kruger, we mentioned, just a little bit shorter, 2,200 yards rushing on the season. He will be the star running back here for the Norris Titans. He's 5'10", 180 pounds, and the quarterback is Jackson Reitz. Reitz, a junior, he is 5'11", 195 pounds for the Norris Titans, and head coach Jim Jacobson. Now the starting lineup for Omaha Gross will start with their line. Chad Buktani is 5'11", 250 pounds, and a senior. Pete Luddeck, also a senior, 5'8", 230 pounds. Kyle Kunkel, a junior at 6'2", 240 pounds. Brian Kokel is 6', 215 pounds, and a senior. Zach Becklin is a junior. He's 6'2", 235 pounds. And rounding out all those linemen that they have is Noah Aronson, a junior, 6'3", 285 pounds. The tight ends will be Nate Krumpfich. He's a senior, 6'4", 195 pounds. And Noah Fanslaw, a sophomore, 6', 160 pounds. The running backs will be Tyler Korolewski, a junior at 6'3", 215 pounds. Zach Nicky, also a senior. He'll play wide receiver. He's 6'3", 175 pounds. Nate Zimmer will also play as a wide receiver. He's 6', 170 pounds. And a senior, Anthony Vigneri, a junior. He is 5'11", 185 pounds. And the quarterback is Zach Jonk. He is a senior, 6'1". 185 pounds. And a couple of statistics for you. The leading rusher for Omaha Gross is Vigneri. He's run for 1,053 yards, as we mentioned, a senior. And Zach Jonk is 86 of 132 passing attempts for 1,084 yards on the season, 10 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. And here for the red, white, and blue Firth Norris Titans, James Krueger has carried the ball 293 times for 2,190 yards, 26 touchdowns on the year. And Jackson Reeds has thrown the ball only 60 times all season as the starting quarterback. He's 31 of 60 for 561 yards. Those are your starting lineups. Again, brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with a kick between Gross and Norris right after this timeout.
Call it the kickoff, the tip-off, the face-off, whatever your favorite sport, it all starts with the new TM Sporting Goods, now open in the downtown Kearney Center. TM Sporting Goods, the new home of Brooks, Mizuno, ASICS, Russell Athletic, Wilson, and Diamond Sports, along with Under Armour, featuring experienced pros like Steve Barinol, Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods is now open on the Bricks, 2217 Central in the downtown Kearney Center. TM Sporting Goods, the division of Pro Team Design. Like them on Facebook for insider information.
Seth Johnson is your Channel Seed dealer, located at the end of Main Street in Hildreth. But Channel Seed is not just another seed company. What sets them apart is they listen. Around the kitchen table or at a backyard barbecue, that's the secret to understanding farmers' needs, interests, and concerns. Go see Zeke today at the end of Main in Hildreth.
Well, you've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, you're the leader. Contact Terry Jason Stark, our New Tech Seed dealer, near you. Omaha Gross will get the football first. They won the toss. Traditionally, teams like to defer and then get it in the second half. Gross says, we want the football, and why not? Again, the last time somebody kicked off to them, they were able to take a squib kick in for a touchdown. That's what got them here into the game, as they scored that last-minute touchdown against Elkhorn. And I don't know. Don't kick it to one of the upbacks, I guess. Kick it deep.
Yeah, in situations like that, you typically see it so you can defer to the second half. That's a strategy. But sometimes if you have a really good offense, or if you don't want James Krueger to run over you on defense, you'll take the ball because you think, hey, if we can get the first score early and be on top the whole game instead of trying to chase, that's our game. So that's an interesting strategy. I think it's maybe the first time I've seen so far of the four games I've done where they've receive the ball.
Yeah, but to me, I don't mind that.
Yeah,
if you've got
fine
confidence in your offense,
yeah,
you know, go get the football. You bet.
Yeah, yeah, you'd always see like Mike Leach coach teams, and they would always like to get the ball, you know, because the offense is so explosive that if you score within like maybe the first 30 seconds of the game, it kind of just deflates the other team. It's like, wow, it's already 7-0, and we just kicked off.
Norris, they are actually going to be the visiting team here. They are wearing the white jerseys, got white helmets with a big red N on them. Their school colors are red, white, and blue. They got the white shirts, they got the blue pants, and they got a little bit of red on the helmet and a little bit of the trim. And really, the color scheme for Gross looks a lot like the University of Florida. Maybe the orange a little bit more burnt than what they have. They actually call it burnt orange and royal blue as their school colors at Omaha Gross. And if you put the University of Florida's helmets with the Green Bay Packers logo on the side of the helmet, you've got Gross's football uniforms as they will receive the kickoff here to start the football game. And the final high school game of the year in the state of Nebraska just about ready to get underway here at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. And teeing it up is going to be Ryan Bellinghausen, as he pretty darn good kicker. We noticed some statistics. He's been pretty solid field goal kicking throughout the course of the year, got a pretty strong leg, and we'll see if he can drive this in the end zone for the touchback as he puts the foot into it. A little bit more of a low line drive kick, trying to get some distance on it, and he got enough distance to get it into the end zone for the touchback. So they'll bring the ball out to the 20-yard line. It'll be first and 10 here for Gross as Matthew Sullivan caught it, but caught it in the end zone for the automatic touchback. So we'll see if the strategy works here for Gross.
Yeah, you know, actually I think he caught it and kind of jumped in the end zone, but whatever works gets the touchback, and you're listening to game number 6 of 6 here, brought to you by the new Hastings Ford Lincoln T&L Irrigation Systems and Dunham Sports.
So in at quarterback and taking the snap here is going to be Zach Jonk, and Jonk, I'm sure, will throw the football. I was going to say sure to hand it off, but they ran a quick little throw to the left side, and that's probably why they don't throw it very much, because Nate Zimmerer got the catch and was planted immediately by Norris.
Yeah, Trey Harry there for Norris came up and just stuck him right when he got the ball. Good play by Norris trying to get the momentum on their side, get that first big hit, kind of get the crowd in the game on their part, and try and win the state championship.
The pass was complete, but actually a loss of almost a full yard on the play. And so in the shotgun is going to be Jonk. As we mentioned, they don't throw it a whole lot, but they're going to throw it two in a row here, it would appear. No, they're going to run that jet sweep and trying to get that outside corner. No room to run whatsoever for Zimmerer as they try to get the ball into Zimmerer's hands, and there's just not a whole lot happening there. Zimmerer on the year, that's only his 14th carry of the season, and he probably lost a little bit of ground on that carry. Now he gained maybe about a yard, so it's going to be third and a solid 10 here.
Yeah, and then from the angle we are on, it's tough to see that if that was a gain or a loss. But, you know, third and 10, you would like to see if you're going to get that ball, that aggressive strategy. Well, so far you've had two plays where it hasn't worked out. We'll see what they do here.
So Gross is going to go out of the shotgun here, rolling out to the right, quick little pass, and it is going to be caught, but not a big enough gain as Zimmerer makes the catch. And he's going to be wrapped up almost immediately there by Aaron Doctor.
Yeah, good job there by Aaron Doctor, too. You know, you kind of see at the third and 10, he let the guy catch the ball, which is okay, as long as you don't let him get behind you or break a tackle. So he let him catch the ball, which was good, but he tackled up, he wrapped him up, he didn't miss the tackle, and is going to force him to punt the ball here.
So A.J. Floodman is going to be back deep to receive the punt here. And in punt formation for Gross is going to be Max Connor. He does pretty much all their kicking duties. Low snap, but he's able to handle it. And it's kind of a low line drive end-over-end kick, and it is going to take a little bit of a roll. Not exactly rugby style, but kind of the rugby effect here is the ball is going to be down at about the 33-yard line as it's going to be touched there by Matthew Sullivan. So now it's going to be Norris's turn as, again, a three and out for the Norris defense, and we'll see what they can do. So the strategy of getting the ball first so far hasn't worked for Omaha Gross, but we'll see what happens here.
Yep, and here comes Norris in there, double tight, no wide set. You know, they like to run the ball, and they like to give the ball to James Krueger.
So he is deep in that three-man Maryland eye here, and the quarterback just going to go right up the middle and just covering the ball there. Jackson Reitz, nothing really happening there, but they gained maybe 2 yards, and that's going to be about it. Maybe, about 2 yards. That's about all they got out of that. About, say, 3 yards in the cloud of dust might be their philosophy, but can't kick up a whole lot of dust on that rubber-laid down here at the Memorial Stadium.
You get those rubber pellets, so maybe 3 yards and a bunch of pellets.
So, again, a really tight Maryland eye here, and they're going to hand the ball off to Krueger. Krueger just off tackle, and he's going to bring it across the 35 to about the 38-yard line. That'll be a gain maybe of about 2.5 yards, so it's going to set up now third and about 6.
Yeah, and the opening play was a quarterback sneak. I think maybe they thought they would fool him by thinking, you know, Krueger will get the first carry and got a couple yards there. Then they decided we should actually give it to Krueger. He goes in and gets you a couple more, sets up third, and about 5 to go here.
And again, they go with a real tight Maryland eye. I mean, the helmets are almost at the previous guy's backside here. And they're going to run the option, and there's just no room to run. Wow, look at that Gross defense just swarming Jackson Reitz under, as there was great penetration there, and that just was disrupted by that penetration immediately for Gross.
Yeah, and they tried to run the option to the right, and basically the quarterback couldn't even get a step before, and he had a miss an initial defensive lineman. The penetration was so good. Then he loses his pitch man, so they had to just basically just a good play by the defense.
The Reitz is also the punter. Not only is he the quarterback, he's standing about the 20-yard line, and they're going to tighten things up here so Gross can't get the block, as they wanted to spread out the field on the punt, but here they tighten it up, and Reitz with a low line drive kick. And it's going to be picked up there, and again, just kind of swarmed under. They're trying to rip the ball away. Couldn't quite get it ripped out of there, but I think a dangerous job of fielding the football there, but trying to get what you can, I guess, is Nate Zimmerer, and we've called Zimmerer's name quite a bit here.
Yeah, and he made the first guy miss. It was a nice athletic play, and then I think he just ran into his own guy, and which caused Norris to swarm on him and get nothing more on return. So a couple of three and outs here. Let's see if Omaha Gross can capitalize it.
And again, I was a little surprised that they actually went in the air three times in a row, and let's see if they go back to that running game. It's finally stepping in under center is going to be Jonk, and Jonk out of that I formation will take the snap here for Gross, and they'll hand the ball off to Vinatieri, and he's going to bring it across, maybe gain three or four, and just a quick little run right up the middle here for Vigneri.
Yeah, pretty, if you look at the replay there, just a nice seam on the left and a seam on the right, a big old hole right up the middle. And Vinatieri took the
penetration there than I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
Gaining about seven on the play.
Yeah, good run.
Didn't look like anything fancy here. And they're going to go with the shotgun formation. Jonk will call out the signal, and he'll just get the ball up to Vigneri, and Vigneri will gain a little bit of ground there as he's going to be tackled by Terrell Murray. But it's going to be enough for the first down, a gain of about four or five. And again, just nothing fancy about it, but you unstack everything, and it's a good, solid game.
Yep, it's first down of the game. It's kind of like what you like to see, you know, after a three and out, the ability to get another first down, to show that you can get that first down. You don't want to go three and out to start the game.
So again, Jonk will be in that shotgun. He's got a running back on either side of him. He's going to look to throw, and he's got a man out there, and it's caught on that far side but to Zimmerer, and Zimmerer makes the catch, and he is knifed down immediately after making the catch. Good, solid defensive play there. I think that was Helmick who made the tackle as he was cut down after a gain of about six.
Yeah, good route out there in the flat, just trying to pick up some positive yards here. You don't need to try and go for goal quite yet. Just nice short intermediate passes, you know, open up the passing game, which could open up the running game here.
Second and four from the 49, shotgun formation. They go a little wildcat, do a little reverse here, and they're going to lose yards. They try to come back around, and Zimmerer is upended there. Nice read there by the Titans defense.
You got a penalty flag, too.
And I think that's going to be on the offense. They decline that, I'm sure, because they'll take the play, which was a loss, and not give them the chance to redo the play here. I take the penalty. To me, that's a no-brainer in my mind.
Yeah, and what happened was they ran that reverse, and then on the coming here on the near side, 74 for Gross was the guy. He basically blocked. He did the block in the back, and he knocked the guy he was supposed to be blocking forward, knocked him into the defender or the running back, which caused him to lose yardage and then the penalty. So
that's a they said third down, which maybe indicates that they were going to decline the penalty, but they're actually marking it off. So I think he's going to have to correct himself and say second down. They're going to that's a 10-yard penalty from the spot of the foul, which was a bigger loss. I guess I don't know. I would still make it third and 10 instead of second and 21.
You give them an extra down, basically, but you think with the 15 yards you're going to flip field position, and that might be key in a close Class B game like we got here going on.
So it's going to be second and 21 from about the 32-yard line. Dropping back here is going to be Jonk. Jonk, he's going to tuck it and run, and he'll cut back on the inside to about the 35-yard line. So he only gains about 4, maybe 5 yards on the scramble here. And that will set up now 3rd and 18. So I guess,
yep.
Yeah, the way it worked out so far, they were probably better taking the penalty.
Yeah, and it was good coverage there by Norris. There just wasn't anybody open there receiver-wise. And so
he did wait a long time to throw it, though.
Yeah, and Jonk just decided, hey, let me try and at least get some of this back. If it's an obvious passing down in 2nd and 18, maybe we can surprise him and I can scramble and try and get the first down that way.
Well, Jonk has carried the ball 46 times on the season. Here he's going to drop back to pass. A little bit of pressure coming. Still looking. Throws on the run. It's a very dangerous throw and nearly intercepted in there by Trey Hare, and it falls incomplete. So here come the wholesale substitutions as Gross is going to be in punt formation, and you can kind of hear the Norris fans right underneath us applauding their defense as there'll be a punting situation here for Max Connor.
Yep, it was a good good pass rush, which caused the throw and then it almost intercepted. So all phases of that play for Norris was pretty good.
So Flubman back in punt fort to receive the punt here from Connor, and not much pressure being put on. High kick, and telling him to get away from it is Flubman, and he gets away from it himself, and the ball is going to be downed on that far side there by Matthew Sullivan. So exactly 5 minutes to go here in the first quarter, and it is no score. The Titans of Norris and the Cougars of Omaha Gross still looking for our first points of the game here with exactly 5 minutes to go in quarter number one. We knew both these two teams had a pretty good defense, and we're certainly not disappointed right now. We're going to take a quick break. 5 minutes to go, quarter number one. Still no score between the Cougars and the Titans here in Class B. We'll be back right after this.
Mobile Bank All is here exclusively from Five Points Bank. It's the ultimate on-demand mobile banking service. You'll find 3 secure ways to access your banking information from your cell phone with internet access. Mobile Bank All from Five Points Bank gives you powerful features securely delivered through the account menu. Mobile Bank All allows you to view your account balances, pending activity, transfer money, pay bills, and view alerts. Enroll today. Mobile Bank All is a free service for internet banking customers at the better bank, Five Points Bank.
Well, Norris still looking for their first down out of the game. These two teams are here to a great extent on the strength of their defense, even though both of them have had a couple of pretty good offensive outbursts in the playoffs. In fact, Norris scored 52 against Aurora and 45 scored against Plattsmouth by Omaha Gross. Here, a quick little handoff right up the middle. Nice little seam. It nearly slipping through there was James Kruger. Kruger still has a nice little gain of nearly 10 yards on the play as he slipped through there. And I'll tell you what, he was just a sliver away from being able to drive through there because he almost ran through the tackle of Derek Dostal. If Dostal doesn't wrap him up as well as he did, that's probably a touchdown.
Yeah, and he took Dostal for a ride, though. I mean, there was a small seam, and Kruger hit it and hit it hard.
So it's going to be now 2nd and less than 1. Bad snap, picking it up, and now running with it is going to be Reitz. And Reitz, actually, thanks to a great line search, not only is able to hold on to the football, but advance it for a first down.
Yeah, the old fumble Ruski by accident there. Dropped the ball, and like you said, just a good offensive line push, pushing back the Gross Cougars. Picked up the first down on a fumble. You don't typically see that very often. Usually you'll fall on it, but nice improvising by the quarterback.
Well, again, that line surge drove the Gross players far enough away he felt comfortable grabbing it. So they go with that Maryland eye here, and they're going to hand the ball off to their star running back, Kruger, and Kruger coming off that left side, and he's going to be stopped as he brings it across midfield to about the 47-yard line. So that'll be a gain of about 3.5, maybe 4 yards on the play. And it's going to set up now 2nd and 6 from about the 47.
Yep, nice misdirection play there. Kruger just got a nice gain of 4 yards. Just trying to wear down that defensive line here by Kruger and try and get some good yards because we know he's got the potential with well over 4,600 career rushing yards, 2,500 this year.
Jordan Damkroger comes in with the play from the sideline. They shuttle in the plays with that. And again, they go two tight end, Maryland eye here. And they'll hand it off to Kruger. Kruger off tackle, slips through there, has a nice little gain. He's close to the first down marker. He's going to be short here, but again, just coming off tackle, got a couple of lead blockers over there, and right now Norris is just saying to Gross, we're just going to come right at you, and we're going to run you over.
Yeah, and Norris is like, you probably know what we're going to do. We're probably going to give Kruger the ball. We've given him to him all year. It's just, can you stop us? And so far with the line surge and the Kruger just finding the holes and carrying defenders, they're thinking that they probably won't be able to stop him.
So here you go, third and about a yard and a half here from the 43-yard line. Long count, high snap, pitch out to Kruger. Kruger off tackle, and he is pushing the pile forward to nearly the 40-yard line, and that's going to be enough for the first down. The 41 is with the first down marker. They're inside of that, it would appear to me. Yeah, they do move the chains here, and with 2:55 to go, still no score here in the first quarter, but right now the Titans are driving pretty effectively.
You know, that's the second play in a row. I've noticed that, that there was trouble with the snap. That one was a little high. The one before he had trouble with it as well, and then we had that one fumble. So there's some trouble quarterback exchange here. That might be an issue that Norris needs to wrinkle out.
Yeah, but they again, that line penetration has given them some time. Hand off to Kruger, a little handoff in underneath, and coming in, making the tackle here for Omaha Gross was Vigneri, as Vigneri makes the tackle, but still a little gain here for Kruger, only about a yard and a half.
And I agree with you. I'm just saying that, yeah. I wouldn't want to be fumbling the snap every time, because eventually your luck's going to run out if you keep doing that.
Absolutely. That's the most fundamental thing you've got to do. You can't do anything else from that
exactly.
point. But again, the advantage there now that Norris has is that line is really beginning to exert itself out there a little bit. Again, they go Maryland I, and now Gross is looking like a run blitz, and they're going to drop back and pass. They look to throw it in underneath, and it's intercepted.
Was he out of bounds?
Nope. He's had at least 1 foot in there as that ball was thrown in underneath, and that was not a well-thrown ball there by Jackson Reitz, and it was thrown right into the gut of the defensive back on that right side as they just didn't see him there as he made the catch. And I think that's number 22, isn't it?
Nicky. Yep, and you can tell. I mean, right before the game, you said they average about 5 yards or five passing attempts a game, and I think you can kind of see why.
Well, again, you're running the ball, and you throw it a few times just to keep them honest. Here we got a little run and dash here by the quarterback, Jonk, and Jonk scoots around. He's going to gain about 13 yards as he just kind of had a little quarterback draw, and he danced around all that pressure. And that's a nice little, actually an ISO play, as they looked like he was going to pass, but then followed his fullback right through the hole and then bounced back out to the outside. Nice little gain of about 13. And they're just short of midfield here. First and 10 from about the 49-yard line. Off-balance line, and now they'll move one of the wingbacks, make him a tight end on the right side. And they'll hand the ball off that left side. Good penetration here as no room to run whatsoever for Vigneri, as Norris defensive line had pretty good penetration there and no room for Vigneri to go.
No, not at all. And we'll see if the big interception there by Nicky, hopefully that what Gross is thinking is they can turn it into points, because anytime you can capitalize on a turnover like that, that's really deflating for the other team.
So a promising drive thwarted by the interception. We are inside of 1 minute to go here in the first quarter. Still looking for our first score. In the shotgun formation is Gross, and they're going to throw it off that left side. And nothing happening there.
No, pretty low snap. A defender got his hands up and just batted that one away. Good athletic play by the Norris defensive line. Not letting the just getting their hands up. Pretty basic play there.
And again, if you're controlling the guy, then you can see when it's time for that ball to be thrown, and you can time your jump. And that is exactly what Norris was able to do, as Tony Minnelli making a nice little play here. So shotgun formation, third and 10 from the 49. And a little shuttle pass on the inside, caught by Vigneri, and Vigneri is going to gain maybe about 6 yards on the play, and it's going to set up now fourth and about four. Just kind of an inside option almost with that little shuttle pass. And not a bad gain. Problem is they needed 10, they only got 6. So it's fourth and 4 from about the 45-yard line.
Yeah, and with the turnover and then the first down, so you do win the field position battle this time around. So although you weren't able to capitalize and score points, you're gonna turn the field around, and sometimes that's a victory in itself.
So Connor will do the punting here. Floodman back deep, and again, Connor's done a nice job of keeping the ball away from Floodman, and here he kicks a high kick, and Floodman picks it up about the 7-yard line, dances around, makes one man miss. There's a flag down, and brings it across the 13-yard line. He's only going to gain about 6 yards on the return, and he's probably going to lose all of those, plus some, because there is a flag down. And that's got to be, I would think, a block in the back or something illegal with a block there.
Yeah, it looked like a block on the back from here, and that's what it is. And it happened right in front of the official, so it was a pretty easy call from us up here. Pretty easy call down there, too, and it's only going to be half the distance to the goal, but still.
Those are 4 big yards.
Yeah, that's
a spot foul from the 8 down to the 4-yard line.
Yeah, and if you're not careful here, a bad exchange, which we've been noticing, if you turn the ball over here, given Norris, would be very, very short field.
So they got 96 yards to go here, and again, they're going to go with that two tight end Maryland eye formation. And the ball is at the 4-yard line, and only about a yard and a half deep in the end zone is going to be Kruger in that eye. And they're going to hand the ball off to him, and he comes right up the middle and finds a little seam and brings it across to about the 8-yard line. So he's going to gain 4 and a cloud of dust here for the Norris Titans.
Yep, just give it to Kruger trying to get out from the shadow of your end zone so you don't make a silly mistake.
And that was the final play of the first quarter, so we'll run clear to the other end of the field. Still no score between Norris and Omaha Gross. The Class B State Championship here on the ESPN Superstation in Central Nebraska. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with coverage of the high school football playoffs brought to you in part by Hastings Ford Lincoln. We're back right after this.
Honey, hurry. We need to finish loading up the trash. The dump closes in 30 minutes.
Don't let trash take up time in your busy schedule. Let Ravenna Sanitation take care of all your trash needs. At Ravenna Sanitation, they take trash seriously. They're there to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service that you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Wouldn't it be great if the process of buying a car was black and white? At the new Hastings Ford Lincoln, we take the bull out of the equation. The truth is, every car dealer knows their best price. They just hope you'll pay more. They also know what your trade is worth. They just hope you'll take less. Let us show you how we do business. Our advantage is black and white, just like our showroom seating. We're the new Hastings Ford Lincoln, and at HastingsFordLincoln.com.
Randy Bushcutter, Jeff Babel, and engineer extraordinaire Stacy Johns helping you bring coverage of the last high school football game of the season in the great state of Nebraska. The Class B State Championship, still looking for our first points between the Norris Titans and the Cougars of Omaha Gross. And I'll tell you what, if you had these two teams in your pool, you probably won a pretty good-sized kitty there, because, again, the 10 seed and the 5 seed hooking up for the state championship. But that goes what they always say, that cliche, anybody can beat anybody during the playoffs, and that certainly has been the case this year, throughout the year pretty much, in Class B.
Yeah, it's one of those wild card years. I mean, some years you have the dominant teams like a McCook or Aurora, but this year it's kind of it's basically who week by week almost. It wasn't.
I thought it was Scotts Bluff for a while. I thought it was Aurora for a while.
A lot of people like Beatrice, and it's going to come down to Norris and Omaha Gross here.
So second and 6 from the about the 8-yard line here. Again, they'll go with that Maryland eye formation. Hand off to Kruger. Kruger going on that right side, and he's met right at the 10-yard line. So positive gain there, but it's going to set up now 3rd and about 4. And I'm going to reach into my crystal ball and predict that Kruger's going to run the ball here too.
Yeah, you would think so. So a situation like this, you don't want to maybe do a play-action pass, because we've seen the interception before. If you're Omaha Gross, you just got to hold them, because they're not going to go for it 4th and down from inside their own 10. So this is a big play here.
So he's run the ball 293 times coming into tonight, and he's already got about 5 or 6 carries here. And again, they'll go with that Maryland eye pitch out to, you guessed it, Kruger, and he's going to come off tackle. And I'll tell you what, he needed to get to 15, and he did not get there, but it is the 14. So gain of about 3 on the play, and it's going to be punting time here for Norris.
They stopped the clock. I don't know if they're going to bring it in for a measurement or... No, they're going to move the chains.
Well, that the line on that far side must have been incorrect. No doubt about it, because... Well, he's at the 4, and he's outside the... They're just outside the 14 there, I guess. So, yeah, they got it. Well, I'm surprised they didn't measure, though.
Yeah, but for sure.
Nose the football is on the 14, and they were on the 4 to start this. They got a kind spot there, I think. And anyway, they've got it first and 10 here. Bad snap! It's loose in there, and I think Gross may have it at the 15. And they do. First and 10. Oh, my goodness. You talked about earlier the problem with the exchange, and they were able to knock the ball loose, and Noah Aronson is the one that came up with the football for Omaha Gross.
Yeah, this is the fourth bad snap that I've counted just off the top of my head, and if you keep pressing your luck like that, eventually you're going to get a whammy, and that's not the place where you want to turn the ball over. If you're going to turn it over near midfield, but... That's a huge break for a mother.
That's the most basic thing that you do. You practice it. I don't know why suddenly in the state championship game that would unravel on you. Well, Zach Jonk has the ball first and 10 from the 14-yard line. He's in under center, and he's going to hand the ball off, and Vigneri will be taken down just outside of the 10-yard line. So a gain of about 3.5 yards there for Vigneri.
Yep, nice little trap play there by Vigneri, just trying to get 3 yards in a cloud of dust type thing. When you're in the red zone, basically you don't have to dial up these big plays. You don't have to throw the ball. You can kind of just run it and run your vanilla offense here. So nice 3 yards in a cloud of dust there by Vigneri.
But again, they get a first down, and they would be in great shape.
Yep.
They could really pound it at you, as they would have it inside the 5 yard line. Here's second, and we'll call it 7 from the 11. Early on in the second quarter, hand off to the left side. Boy, there's some hard running there. There's a flag down, and I don't know if that's on the blocking or maybe there's a face mask in there. In any event, hard run on that left side for Vigneri, and we'll see what the flag is here.
Face mask.
And that is going to go against the Titans, and that'll be half the distance to the goal from there. And I think that'll be enough for a first down and set up first and goal inside the 3 yard line. Just inside the 3, it'll be first and goal.
Yeah, and Norris seems to be shooting themselves in the foot there, because if you do turn the ball over, at least you can, you know, try and have a good defensive stance, maybe only limit them to 3. But if you throw in the face mask, you give them a first and goal from the 3, it's going to be tough to stop them here.
So here you go, inside 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. In under center is going to be Jonk, and Jonk is going to hand the ball out to Vigneri, and there's a huge hole. He goes in untouched for the touchdown, and Anthony Vigneri, the first points of the Class B state championship game, come off the left tackle, and Gross is leading Norris 6-0.
Yeah, just followed his lead blocker off tackle. There was a big old hole there on the left side. You could drive a Mack truck through that, and Vigneri says, I'll take the free 6 points right there.
Well, they line up for the extra point here as Max Connor will try to make this a 7-0 game. Snap is good. The kick is up, and it is no good. He missed the extra point. So Max Connor misses the extra point, and we'll see whether or not that haunts the Cougars later in the game. But they have first blood here as they lead the Titans of Norris 6-0, 9:52 to go in the second quarter. We're back after this.
The most recommended by far, Houston's Body Shop. That's who we are. Put your car or truck back to factory specs. Free estimates from certified techs. When you need a tow, we're the ones to know. The most recommended Houston's Body Shop, that's who we are.
Are you tired of electric pivot hassles with gearboxes, micro switches, unexpected repairs, and safety concerns? Only T&L Pivot Systems use safe, proven hydrostatic drive technology that eliminates these hassles. Get lasting value and decades of dependability. Call your T&L dealer or visit T&L's website today. T&Ls are easier on you and use proven hydraulic technology that works.
Well, the Cougars draw first blood in this one, 6-0. They get the short field with the fumbled snap, and something we've been talking about a few times. They definitely have got to get straightened out. The most basic thing that you do is snap the football from the center to the quarterback, and they've had about four different problems with the exchange. But again, a little bit of a problem here for Omaha Gross. They missed the extra point, and we'll see if that comes back into play later in the game. We've seen many times through the course of the year, one reason why Kearney High season ended when it did was they missed an extra point, and they ended up chasing the point the rest of the game and couldn't come up with it. There was a few other factors in that game, obviously. But Max Connor will kick it off here after missing the extra point. He'll kick it at the 40-yard line, and it's a little bit of a pooch kick, and it's going to go out of bounds at about the 20-yard line, and they'll throw a flag on that. And we'll see what Norris decides to do here. They could have a penalty right where the ball went out of bounds, mark it from there, and we'll see what they decide to do here with 9:52 to go here. So I think Gross makes a couple of mistakes with the illegal procedure call here. And they'll bring the ball out to the 35-yard line. So that basically would be a 15-yard penalty from where the ball goes out of bounds. And they'll bring it out to 35, so not bad field position here for Norris. And Norris was moving the ball.
Yeah.
They've had a little bit of success here.
Kruger had
Actually break those two tight ends. They split one guy wide out to the right out of that Maryland eye, and they hand the ball off to Kruger. And Kruger, good hard running, and he'll bring it out across the 40-yard line. He'll gain 5 on the play. And Kruger, that's already his 10th run of the game. And he's got over 40 yards here so far in the Class B state championship game.
And going back to the fumbles, I think it was 57 degrees, the game time temperature. I don't think the ball is that cold or anything, but when you fumble it like that so many times so early, you're going to think about it every time you snap the ball.
Yeah, you do kind of worry about that a little bit, and I don't know what the deal is with Jackson Reeds, as he's been having trouble with that center exchange. They hand it off to Kruger. Kruger, a little open space, and he'll bring it across the 45-yard line. He's got enough for the first down. Solid run of about 7 yards there. And, again, he is very, very quick. They like to run inside the tackles, and then he cut back to the inside. And, again, there's been a couple of times that he's just, if he could slide off that tackle, he'd take it the distance because he hits that hole very, very hard.
Yeah, it was a good job. He found the seam. You see, with their double tight formation, everybody's in the box. So there's just, if you get through there, you're going to get through the touchdown.
Well, there's two tight ends. Got that Maryland eye thing here, and they're going to run it off through that fullback coming off on a little counter play there, and a good hard run there for Nick Davis. And Davis lumbers that 225-pound frame, kind of like every once in a while that Corey Schlesinger would come at your way. He gains about 8 on the play, brings it across midfield, ball spotted at about the 44-yard line.
Yep, good field, or nice pulling guard there, got a nice kick-out block and just left the seam open there for number 44 for Norris, the big fullback. Like you said, Davis just rumbled and stumbled and got 9 yards.
Yeah, and a good solid run there. We'll see if it's Kruger or if they hand it off to one of the other backs. They are going to give it to the back again, Davis. Davis off that right side, breaks a tackle, and he's going to be pulled down at about the 30-yard line. Just a quick little hitter. Same play to the other side where they bring that guard over there, and I think maybe the Norris coaching staff sees something there as they've gone to the fullback a couple of times, Nick Davis.
Yeah, it was a beautiful block, and then Davis, it looked like he was going to be able to break that, and then he was caught from behind. Maybe if a little bit more speed on Davis instead of the strength, he could have put that one to the house.
Well, Gross, kind of like when a basketball team's making a little run, you get a timeout by the coach. Gross is doing the exact same thing here. They call a timeout. It'll be first and 10 from the 28. Timeout, Cougars. They lead it 6-0, but the Titans are driving. We'll be back with more of the state B championship game, Class B state championship game, right after this.
Niccolo looking. They finally get it into Kissinger. Kissinger drives the ball toward the goal. Bounce pass down in the corner here to Williams. Back outside to Chanel Farmer. 4 seconds. They're earned. Slaughter to a Niccolo. Shot good.
Cremosta, another three. In and out, and in. Oh, my, for Mark Cremosta.
Like Platte River Preps on Facebook to read articles on over 100 local teams from 14 conferences. Get exclusive pictures from the games that were broadcast live on all of the Platte River radio stations.
Well, we certainly want to say thanks to all of our sponsors for bringing us coverage of high school football, and the playoffs are presented in part by T&L Irrigation Systems. And here we got it first and 10 from about the 28-yard line. Again, two tight ends, that Maryland eye. Long count. Hand off again to the fullback, Davis. And Davis will bring it across the 25-yard line down to about the 23. That'll be a nice solid gain. Five, so second and five. And again, why would you go away from that? You're getting 5 yards at a crack with your fullback.
Oh, yeah.
And not only do you get those 5 yards and you move the chains, but you just rip the heart out of a defense when you can just run at them with your fullback time after time after time. We'll see what they do here. As again, under center is going to be Reitz. Reitz will hand it off to Kruger. Kruger on that left side, spins, backs in, gets a little extra there. Gets down to about the 19, and it's going to set up now third and about one after the gain of about four.
Good run there, and going back to the fullback there, Davis, he's run the ball three times. It's three exceptional runs, and if it's not broke, don't fix it. I mean, he's just been running, and if they keep putting him in there, the big old 225-pound, they're going to eventually wear down this Groves defense, and then they're going to strike with their number 20, their main back.
So third and one, just about everybody's in the box here for Omaha Gross. They give it to Kruger. Kruger, plenty of room as that line surge, still running, brings it inside the 15-yard line, down to about the 13. And again, that line for Norris wins that battle, pushes Gross away, and gives them a seam, a little bit of both, as that line is really exerting itself here for Norris. And remember, they're behind right now. It is 6-0. The Cougars with the lead because of that fumble in the short field earlier. But right now, nice job by the Titans answering back here so far anyway with 6:39 to go here. Still 6-0, two tight ends, Maryland I formation, and they're going to hand it off to Davis right up the middle. Davis met right at the line of scrimmage there by Vigneri, and not much of a gain there. He's going to be brought down to about the 10-yard line, but that's still a gain of three, and again,
yeah,
very manageable here for Norris.
Yeah, and going back to the play before, you're mentioning their defensive line or their offensive line. They were 2-3 yards pushing their guys back. And then on this play, there was just a nice run. He got hit at the line, but he willed and powered those three additional yards. That was a hard run by Davis.
And again, they're just coming right at you. Just nothing fancy at all about what the Titans like to do here. They have it now at the 10-yard line, second and seven. And again, the clock has stopped. I'm not sure why.
We had an injury there.
Now. Did they?
Yeah, 57 came off limping there.
Oh, yeah, he did come off. And an injury here for Mulholland. So a little bit of a change on the offensive line here. Bad snap, and picking it up is going to be Reitz. And Reitz, another bad snap. They're going to lose about 5 yards on the play. That time they did not lose the football. But again, what is that, 6 snaps?
At least five, yeah. And
that's got to get cleaned up. And again, I cannot believe in the state championship game, you played 13 games and you're having trouble with that.
Yeah, and then it looked like Reitz was going to eventually try to pitch that ball to Kruger, and I think he would have made an even dumber mistake there by trying to pitch it, because that would have been for sure a fumble, and Gross would have turned him over again. But yeah, five at least.
So third and 10, two tight ends, Maryland I here, and timeout for Norris. They want to talk about it here with 5:19 to go here. Before halftime, they trail it 6-0, and because of the bad snap, now they're kind of behind the chains a little bit, to steal Larry's phrase, with 5:19 to go here in the second quarter, 6-0, Gross leading the Titans of Norris, and they call a timeout with 5:19 to go. We'll take it with them. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Maybe it's the fresh-cut onions in Long John Silver's new onion rings. Or maybe it's just hard to say goodbye. Try Long John Silver's new signature battered onion rings. Served hot and fresh for a taste you're gonna love. Get a basket for just $4.99. It's a deal that'll make you say,
"That's what I like."
Well, last time Norris threw the football, he got intercepted, and it probably would be a throwing situation here on third and 10. You generally would probably think that. Kruger has run the ball 13 times for 55 yards. Again, I think your bread and butter is running the football. Maybe it's four down territory, I don't know. But again, they're going to show the run here anyway as they come out of the timeout with two tight ends, the Maryland I, as per usual, and a long count. as nope, they're going to drop back and throw it. And it is thrown in intercept coverage, and it's intercepted again. Intercepted by Zach Nicky, who makes a diving interception at about the 4-yard line. And so the Gross defense holds yet again. And again, two passing attempts and two interceptions.
And two interceptions by Nicky, too. He made a good job making sure he got under the ball, because if he doesn't pick it off there, you would think they could probably, you know, kick a field goal there, get some points. So that's huge. The miscues, the two times they've gone back to pass it, the two times it's been intercepted, and it's been intercepted by Nicky both times. Impressive defense there.
Yeah, Bellenhausen is 6-7 kicking field goal, so you like their chances. A quick little deep snap here, and Vigneri is able to bring it across the 10-yard line. He's awfully close to another first down here as they spot him just short of the 15. They've got to get to the stripe on the 15-yard line, so they are only about a half yard away. Nice little 9.5-yard run here for Vigneri as it just kind of pitched it, and he just kind of turned and went off tackle on that left side.
Yeah, it's his seventh carry so far, and it looks like he'll be about 33 yards. This is pretty good, solid run there by Vigneri.
Two wideouts to the right. They go with the I formation, and the quarterback is going to keep it and roll forward. Depends on the spot, I think, where they're spotting him. He might have enough for the first down. As John, there just wasn't a whole lot there, but he also didn't need a lot. Yep, they're going to move the chains there.
It's you hate to go back on it, but those five fumble snaps and then the two interceptions, it seems to be a game of what-ifs right now for Norris. I mean, this game could be completely different right now.
They to a great extent, they really feel like they've dominated the game, but you look up there, they're down 6-0, and
yeah,
there's 4:20 to go in the half.
Their first or their one fumble snap led to the 6 points, and then they were going to get 6 points, and then they turned the ball over.
So here you go with the I formation for Gross. They've got it first and 10 from the 15. They're going to hand it off to Vigneri. Vigneri just runs right behind his lead blocker, comes across the 20-yard line. He just put his hand on his lineman there and just rode him all the way out to the 20-yard line.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea staying behind when the big hog molly's up front. You know, they're there to protect you and clear the space. And if you get too, if you're not patient enough, you're just going to run right by him into a tackle. So you just put your hand on him, wait for him. It'll get you a good block.
Hog molly?
Hog molly.
Hog molly. All right. Shotgun formation here. As John calling it out, he's going to keep it himself. Lead blocker cuts back to the inside, and he'll bring it across the 25-yard line. I apologize. They went with that Wildcat formation. It was Vigneri, and Vigneri has more than enough for the first down as he kind of danced around out there, a gain of about 7.
Yeah,
they've run that formation a couple of times.
Yeah, Vigneri, the 5'11" junior, he's shown some flashes, a good lateral movement. He's had a couple big plays, and he's dangerous in the Wildcat. You know, we haven't seen his arm, but like a direct snap with him getting his forward motion, that's a pretty dangerous play there.
So Junk, it will step in under center. Vigneri in the eye. They're going to hand the ball off to him, and he's going to be met on that right side by Maselli. And now there's flags that come after the play. There's three of them.
Looks like in the secondary, Norris was clapping.
The last one landed well after the play anyway. Personal foul, and that's going to go against Rose. If that's after the play would count, and they'd back him up 15 yards. That would be absolutely devastating. And with 3:05 to go, we mentioned it earlier that... Hold on. Yeah, it is a dead ball, so the down will count, and then they'll spot the ball and then take it back 15 yards, and the ball is spotted just inside the 15-yard line. So the half the distance of the goal is 14.5 yards instead of the full 15. And the ball is about the 14.5-yard line.
A big break there for Norris. You know, Vigneri was showing some promising runs there, and looks like they're going to need to take care of the opportunity given it second and 23.
And timeout here for Gross. They want to call timeout, I think, to talk about it and also to just kind of say, guys, we can't make mistakes like that in a state championship game. Omaha Gross leading the Norris Titans 6-0, 2:46 to go here. They'll have it second and 23 from the 15. I don't know what's a playbook for that, but second and 23. We'll find out what they have in mind when we come back after this timeout.
Does saving money interest you? Well, then come into Dunham Sports in Hastings, where you'll find incredible savings on sports equipment and clothing for your entire family. Find more savings online with our weekly online coupons at dunhamsports.com. While you're there, sign up for Dunham's Rewards. Or if you're a coach, sign up for the team plan. Find Dunham's on Facebook for even more offers. Save on everything sporting goods at Dunham Sports, where our big names bring you in and our low prices bring you back.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, the site of the six state championship games, the six-man state championship game played in Kearney, but the other six, they're sponsored by the NSAA right here at Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. After the 15-yard penalty, Gross finds themselves behind the eight ball a little bit. They have it second and 23 from about the 15-yard line. They're just going to kind of run the option out here, and turning the corner is... going to be Jonk, and Jonk, not a bad little scramble, gets the ball out to about the 25-yard line. That's a good solid gain on the play of about 10. That's going to set up now third and 13.
Yeah, it was a nice play call. I'm sure that everyone in the building thought maybe there was going to be a pass because it was second and 23, so they thought if we fake the pass and just roll left and give Jonk some space, maybe he can turn it in, because you're not trying to get all 23 on that down. You want to try and get it about half of it, so you can get it here.
And that they did. They got about half of it. They a little bit short of that, but they're going to split out too wide to the right. Jonk now is going to be in that shotgun formation, and they're going to fake the little counter. He's going to roll to his right. He's looking to throw, and the pass is knocked down, trying to hit his fullback coming through underneath, and that one was stuffed right back into his face by a leaping Jackson Reitz. And you know what? Reitz wasn't that far away from reeling that one in for what would have been a pick six, as he timed his jump really very well.
Yeah, he had his tight end Conan out there on the flat, but just like you said, Reitz has got his big old paws up there and like, could have pick sixed it, but just...
That was more of a volleyball thing.
Yeah.
He just knocked that one down. He more volleyballed that one, looking at the replay. Connor will do the punting here for Gross, and I think that's Floodman back. So Connor gets the snap, not much pressure, high, wobbly kick, and Floodman picks it up at the 40, comes right up the middle, and he's going to be stopped there by Sullivan and eventually wrapped down by Matthew Sullivan, who's really a special teams star here for Omaha Gross as one of the gunners on that right side. He makes a tackle at about the 46-yard line. So a minute 54 here for Norris. He's been very effective running the football, but this is where being primarily a running team works against you a little bit because, again, the time is a bit of an issue here with a minute 54 to go.
Yeah, and they only got the two timeouts left. So, but they do have a decent field position to start.
They've got it at about the 46-yard line, and again, they're going to hand it off to the fullback coming right up the middle. Not a bad little run there by Nick Davis as he just kind of fights his way to midfield. In fact, he brings it across midfield to the 49, so he's going to gain 5 on the play. And Norris now is going to bring in wholesale substitutions as they bring 4 guys off, and we'll see if maybe they come with a different formation. And yes, they do. For the first time, really, they spread the field. They have trips to the right, 1 to the left. And remember, the last 2 times he's thrown the football, Reitz has been intercepted. He's in the shotgun now, and he's going to roll out to his right. He's looking to throw. He throws the ball down deep. He's got a man there, and it's off his fingertips and out of bounds. Had he caught it, I think he'd been out of bounds anyway, but he tried to connect down to about the 10-yard line with Trey Hare.
Yeah, and it was a good play call because you know the history with the interceptions here tonight. So they rolled it right, and so basically by rolling right and having the receiver go on that sideline, the only person that would have been able to catch that was his receiver. So although if he would have caught it, I think he would have been out of bounds, like you said, Randy. But still, a great play call.
It was a safe throw, and
yes.
I don't want to be flip here, but that's a success considering what happened in his first 2 times he threw the football. Again, 2 wideouts to the right, 2 to the left, and a quarterback keeper here for Reitz as Reitz will lunge forward. And he gained maybe about 5.5 yards. That's enough for the first down. That's going to stop the clock with a minute 5 to go here. And the Titans do still have 2 timeouts left. And that'll stop the clock to move the chains. Actually, they're eyeballing it here. They're going to stop the clock to bring out the chains and see if they got enough for the first down.
Yeah, it was a pretty good design quarterback run there. Followed his lead blocker, Kruger, there, but 74 got him and tripped him up, and it looks like he is just short.
Yep, by the, is it? Yeah, just the nose of the football, and they're bringing it over, and you can't make it any closer than that.
I think you got to go for it here.
Oh, yeah, though. Fourth and one, you bet. Your defense has been playing pretty good, you know.
You basically just get a clean snap and fall over, and you could sneeze across the line and get it here. I mean that is literally the nose of a football away.
Clean snap being the key.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up, because I'm keeping a tally now, and I'm starting it at five, at least five troubled snaps so far between Reitz and his center.
So they'll wind the clock here. Reitz is in under center, and they're going with that full house Maryland eye. Reitz is going to keep it. He's got enough, and he gains a couple of yards, actually. So he's got that comfortably. So they'll stop the clock and make that package change where they bring four different players out, as they'll probably put Reitz back in the shotgun here. And Reitz had some success in their last playoff game. He threw a touchdown pass in that previous game. So he had a rough start to the night.
Yep.
But they have the faith in him still, as Reitz will be in the shotgun. 40 seconds to go as he gets the snap. Low snap, picks it up, pressure coming, trying to throw the screen, makes the connection with Kruger. Kruger breaks one tackle, and then he cannot escape. Big number 51, Chad Bertani. And Bertani, he laid a pretty good stick to Kruger there. And a timeout here for Norris to stop the clock with 28 seconds to go. It'll be second and five from about the 37-yard line. So timeout for the Titans. We'll take it with them. It's Omaha Gross with a 6-0 lead over the Titans of Norris. We'll be back right after this.
For over 50 years, Sorensen Construction in Kearney has been your number one contractor. Designing, building, and general contractors. Sorensen Construction specializes in new construction, additions, and remodeling, both commercial and residential. Count on the professionals. Call Tim and the gang to take care of your building today. Building Kearney is what they do. Sorensen Construction, your on-time contractor for over 50 years. Sorensen Construction is a proud supporter of all area sports.
Well, the kicker for Norris is Ryan Bellinghausen, who is 6 of 7 kicking field goals. He's 41 of 44 kicking extra points. His longest of the season is 45 yards. So to get to that same area, they'd have to get to the 28-yard line. It's second and five from the 37. So shotgun formation here. And Reitz is going to roll out to his right, has time to throw. He's going to throw the ball deep. He's got a man there, and it's going to be caught in the end zone for a touchdown. Brian Hood got behind the defense and in for the score.
Who are we to say he can't throw the ball?
Well, after a terrible start, he looked pretty good on that drive.
That was a great throw.
And he threw the guy open. It was, he lost the football when he landed. I'm surprised that they called that a catch. Looking at the replay, again, the ground cannot cause a fumble, but it can cause an interception. He did not come up with it.
You hear some boo birds below us, too.
Well, looking at the replay, let's just say with replay, they probably wouldn't have called that. Bellinghausen will try the extra point, and the kick is up, and it is good. Bellinghausen with the extra point, and we're seeing the replay right now. He caught it, went down, but when he landed, he did not come back up with the ball. I think the official did not finish watching the play, because he does make the catch, pulls it into his body, lands on his back, rolls, and as he rolls, he essentially hiked it through his legs as he rolled through there. He did not come up with the ball. Again, I think Norris got a break here. They got the touchdown, they got the extra point, and they have a 7-6 lead with 21 seconds to go here before halftime. And regardless of how this turns out, I hope it doesn't come down to that play.
Yeah, that's a tough play, because from up here, I mean, it looked good too. And
I saw the ball rolling out of there.
Yeah.
And as I mentioned when I did the call, they called the touchdown, but the ball did come free. So, again, if you're gross, you use that to motivate your kids, I guess, here in the second half. And, again, it's one of those things that really you feel like Norris has dominated this game, with the exception of the bad snaps and the one turnover. Gross has done nothing offensively here. Norris has really kind of dictated. When they play well, they move the ball, and Gross has had trouble moving the ball on Norris. But 21 seconds to go here before halftime, and we'll see what they decide to do here with the kickoff. You got a good strong leg there in Bellinghausen, and he's going to kick the ball up high, and it's going to be picked up at about the 5-yard line. With it is Kruger. Kruger right up the middle, and he has a little bit of a seam, cuts to the outside, and that seam closed at the 25-yard line. I'll tell you what, there was a moment there. I go, uh-oh, Kruger has that hole closed at about the 35-yard line. For a moment there, I thought he might take that one to the house. And remember, one of the reasons why Norris is here is because they had a kickoff return taken back for a touchdown by one of the upbacks against Elkhorn in the previous round. So the ball is about the 36-yard line, 14 seconds left. And if you're the Cougars here late in the second quarter, chances are you just run a traditional play here, but they are going to go out of the shotgun. So maybe they are going to do something with it. They're going to look to throw, and dropping back the throw is going to be Jonk, and Jonk throws it on that right side, and it is incomplete. I'm not really sure where that one was going, as it was well off the mark, and that'll stop the clock with 10 seconds to go here.
I think you just maybe take a knee here and just get into the...
Oh, he was hit as he threw it. That's why it fluttered there a little bit. I thought he got it off and was hit after he released it, but the pressure being put on by Josh Gutzmer, and Gutzmer, he's the one that really kind of caused that pass to be incomplete. So now in under center, they've seen enough here, and I think Jonk is just going to kneel on it. Yes, he does. He takes a knee, and we'll head to the locker rooms. The Titans get a little bit of a break. The touchdown that maybe wasn't, because the receiver did not come back up with the ball after he went to the ground, but the touchdown was already signaled, and a missed extra point by the Cougars. That's the difference in the game, as Norris leads Gross 7-6 as we head to the locker rooms, and we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the Misco Sports postgame report right after this timeout.
Can't seem to find the right school car, truck, or SUV you've been looking for? See the professionals at Killian Motors. They may not have it on the lot, but they can find it for you. Trust Killian's to keep your current car running longer by bringing it in for routine service. Oil changes every 3 months or 3,000 miles, and regular maintenance can keep your car running better and longer. You're heading in the right direction for service, savings, and selection. Killian Motors, where people come back time after time since 1979, 8th and Central, Kearney.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Clark.
Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's of Kearney now delivers.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. You're listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. And scoring summary won't take a whole lot of time to go through here, as both teams did score a touchdown. The first one came when Anthony Vigneri cashed in on the short field after the turnover by Norris, as they had the fumbled quarterback exchange, as Anthony Vigneri got in from 3 yards out. The Max Connor extra point was no good, and with 9:52 to go in the second quarter, it was 6-0 in favor of Omaha Gross. And then late in the half, they decided to go in the air because they were running out of time, and Brian Hood reeled in a 37-yard pass from Jackson Reitz on a catch that, in my opinion, wasn't, as he made the catch, landed on his back, rolled through there, and as he was rolling on his back, landing in the end zone, the ball came out, went through his legs, but the official already had his hands in the air, and so the touchdown was good. The extra point by Bellinghausen was also good, and it is 7-6 as kind of a controversial touchdown here for the Titans, and they lead it. But they really have kind of, in my opinion, really kind of dominated play here in the first half.
Yeah, a little bit of, I don't know if karma is the right word, but they, like you said, they've dominated, but they had six missed snaps and then two interceptions on two passing attempts before that big touchdown. And so they had all these miscues that are haunting them, and then finally they get that one break. And I think you said it to me, Randy, right before we went off air, and it was, if I'm Omaha Gross, I'm using that phantom call as motivation, because although we're causing Norris in doing to these dumb mistakes, and the one time that we miss our assignment and we let Brian Hood get behind us, they lucked out and scored. So it should technically still be 6-0, and we're still not dominating this game. Yards wise, I think Norris is dominating, like you said. But if you're Omaha Gross, you got to use that as fuel, because you've only got two quarters left, and if you're going to keep dwelling on what happened there, because you can't change it.
No, you can't change that. You just have to say, you know what?
Don't let it affect your plan.
We've got to play better. We've got to play better than this. That really we haven't moved the ball very effectively. To a certain extent, we're lucky. We're also lucky that we're only down by a point.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because again, there was a couple of times the Titans were driving, they had a couple of turnovers too. So to a certain extent, I think Gross has to feel a little fortunate, but obviously they feel very snake bit, because that touchdown ends up being a bit of a phantom play, kind of a phantom touchdown for him. And for Norris, you know, again, you take a look at the stats. They've run the ball 25 times for 97 yards, and it just feels like they're more effective than that. It really kind of does. But they've lost a few plays because of those fumbled snaps. If you're Norris, you can't afford that. You know, one led directly to the touchdown for Gross. So Norris has to do a better job of just that simple, basic play. But their offensive and defensive lines, I think, have really asserted themselves here for Norris. They really kind of control things out
there. Yeah, and don't forget they had that interception when they were on the five, and they turned it over, and Nicky picked off Reach for a second time. So, I mean, there's more points on the board for Norris. And, you know, what I've been really impressed with is, although he's only got 39 yards on five carries, but Nick Davis for Norris running that trap game has been really effective. He had that one big run, which I thought he was this close from turning that into 6-2. So if you look at the numbers, you know, rushing wise, it's 97 rushing yards for Norris, and then 74 Omaha Gross Catholic. They're led by Vigneri for 47 yards in that one score on 10 carries. And then passing the ball is kind of where I think the story is. Jonk is more of a thrower than Reitz, and 4 of 8 for 17 yards. But then Reitz with the 2 of 4, the two incompletions, or not incompletions, the two was intercepted. One was a touchdown, the big 37-yard touchdown. And then the other one was a nice, safe, conservative throw. So it's kind of just been a mixed bag of different. I mean, it's tough to read in the stat sheet. You wouldn't know how to interpret this game.
Yeah, it is kind of a hodgepodge out there, but just the eye test is Norris really. I think their line has really kind of asserted themselves and really kind of are controlling things, even though they only have the one-point lead and probably shouldn't even have that because of the phantom touchdown. So it is 7-6 here at halftime. And, again, you're listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. I'm going to take a quick break and let you go through some numbers here, Jeff, when we come back with more of the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report right after this timeout.
Hello, I'm Roland Dickey from Dickey's Barbecue, and I just love the holidays.
Speaking of holidays, Mr. Dickey, my entire family's coming in town this year.
Edna, I hope they don't starve like last year. Have you tasted your cooking?
You know I don't cook. I'm going to Dickey's Barbecue. I'm going to let Dickey's do the cooking, and I'll take the credit.
That's a great idea. We've got our famous Cajun fried turkey and our spiral cut hams on sale now for $59.95, or our traditional smoked turkey for just $49.95. Edna, you can even bring home one of our great Dickey's complete holiday meals, which serves 10 to 12 of your guests for only $109.99. You can choose from any of our turkeys or ham, plus cornbread dressing, gravy, baked potato casserole, homestyle green beans with bacon, and a dozen of our buttery rolls.
That sounds delicious, Mr. Dickey. Call Dickey's today to order your holiday meal. Find a location near you at Dickey's.com.
Dickey's Barbecue. Seriously, it's smoked.
Misco Sports Incorporated wants you to see them before the games begin. They've kept your schools geared up for decades, and they'll do so for many seasons to come. Get your game on at Misco's now. With a storefront in Ord, they're just a phone call away to help you get better equipped for the games you play this year on the court or on the field. Or whether you need to suit up for that next play or show your team pride, Misco's has everything you'll need in the stands as well. A proud supporter of all the area youth and supporters of high school athletics, Misco Sports.
And welcome back to Lincoln, Nebraska, their Memorial Stadium for the Class B State Championship between the Norris Titans and the Omaha Groves Catholic Cougars. Right now, Norris is on top 7-6. You're listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Show. Ravenna Sanitation says, your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business and residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. Let's continue to look at those stats here. We got an extended halftime due to the band and the dance teams. If we look at time of possession, it's pretty even, 12 minutes 30 seconds for Norris versus 11 minutes and 40 seconds for Omaha Groves Catholic. A nice little stat here, 3 of 6 on their third down efficiency is Norris. Omaha Groves Catholic is 0 for 4, so there's a bit of a talking point at halftime, you could say, for Omaha Groves Catholic. Fourth down efficiency, there's only been that one fourth down. Norris pretty much just fell forward and got that. If we look at it, they say that there's been four fumbles, one of them's been lost. I think I've counted six. Four official turnovers, and then two picks of the quarterback, Jackson Reitz, for Omaha Groves Catholic. As far as other than that, it's pretty even, 30 plays to 25 plays, and then
a couple of those exchanges on the snap didn't hit the ground, so they wouldn't officially be fumble, but it messed up their play, and it stopped a little bit of the offensive rhythm here for Omaha Norris. And again, a simple, basic. I mean, it's the very first thing that you kind of work on, and that's one of the things that's right now hurting Norris, because again, they've been very strong up front, and a couple of those times they probably would have lost the ball if their offensive line didn't have that surge that gave the quarterback time to go pick up the football. So I don't know exactly how you solve that most basic thing.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting ready to say. Whenever Norris comes back, I can almost bet money that you'll see Jackson Reitz and Luke Monholian, I think I got that right, his center, you'll see them coming out here with probably about 5-10 minutes before everyone else does, and they're just going to work on their snaps and their snaps and their snaps, because like you said, it's the most basic thing. It's the number one thing, because you can't run the ball unless you get the ball snapped. You can't pass the ball if the ball is not snapped. And even on the one time they went in shotgun, it was a low ground ball snap, which is probably one of the six that I counted, which caused Kruger to get hit over there on the sideline, and then they didn't turn that into point. I think they eventually did. But in a situation like that where a low pass will disrupt your screen anytime you try to set that up.
I am always amazed just to how much I really enjoy high school athletics, and I'm just having a moment of that right now, because the Groves band right now here at the state finals, they're out there performing to the cheer of their fans, and the drum line is out there, and you'll take a look at the drum line. A couple of football players in football uniform are out there at halftime, a couple of sophomores who not only play football, involved with the band and all that extracurricular activity, and you just love to see that, kids being involved in more than one thing, broaden their horizons. Isn't that what extracurricular activity is all about, as those two young men out there, not regulars on the football team,
right?
The starting quarterback could be in the locker room, folks. But these two young men out there doing their thing with the band in football uniforms, and love to see that as we are at halftime in a tight one-point ball game here for the Class B State Championship. We are at intermission as Norris leads Groves by a score of 7-6 here at intermission. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue with more of the halftime right after this timeout.
Helpful people, dependable products, and the ones you can count on. Fast Fill's Plaza on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Fill your tank with Cinex gasoline and fill your tummy with all your favorite munchies at Fast Fill's. They're also your Husker and Storm headquarters with a great selection of Tri-City Storm and Nebraska Husker apparel. You're sure to find your favorite style shirts, hats, gloves, and more. Your Cinex station with pay at the pump option. All at Fast Fill's Plaza, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Builders knows that you'd rather spend time enjoying your home rather than constantly repairing it. That's why they offer only the highest quality products from the best-known suppliers like Anderson Windows and DeWalt Power Tools. Builders also knows that price matters. That's why they back everything with a guaranteed price match. Find the exact same item anywhere else with a lower price, Builders will match it. Get the best products at the best price. Builders in Kearney and Grand Island.
Builders does the best.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game, from swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back. See Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln as the halftime continuing here in the Class B State Championship as the band finishes performing. Actually, it's not the full band. It's pretty much just the drumline performing here for Norris at, for Gross, rather, here at intermission. And some presentations going out there, including the All-Sports Cup, which Kearney Catholic is going to be officially recognized for in Class C1 here at halftime as we see them stepping out on the field right now. And again, the believers and achievers in the Class A game, and now we kind of do from those individual accomplishments from that game to now kind of the all-school, all-sport kind of accomplishments being announced here. And again, this also they made some notice of this as it's actually on the football program here, that it's 40 years of Title IX involvement. And actually Nebraska was a little bit ahead of that because we've been playing girls state basketball and state volleyball for over 40 years. And granted, it's just 41, but with Title IX coming in and being the law of the land, giving equal opportunity for young women to be involved in extracurricular activities, that's pretty much a neat deal, especially as the father of somebody that graduated high school involved in 4 years of extracurricular activities. It's kind of great to see that. And I'm so old, Jeff. Yeah. I remember watching some of the first games that many high schools played of girls' athletics, and it was just kind of impressive to see how far it's come. And the thing that gets me more than anything else is when you take a look at it, now today's athletes, those daughters are the daughters of mothers who played high school athletics, and yeah, in some cases maybe even granddaughters. And so that's kind of a neat deal that it's kind of evolved with that, as right now Kearney Catholic being awarded their all-sports trophy here. As Rick Petrie and, gosh, the other athlete, how did he get that job? Oh, yeah, it's because he's his son. There you go. So it's great that they are able to do this and recognize the teams for having such a great overall men's and women's accomplishments, as Kearney Catholic has obviously had a great run here over the last few years.
And going back to the 1972, it was, you know, I took a lot of classes to learn about it. It gives you the opportunities for like a volleyball, and we bring you those state championships here on the ESPN Superstation and the family of stations of Flat River Radio. And it really, it was a big piece of legislation, not only to give them a chance, but an equal chance. And a lot of people, I would say, you know, maybe my age or even just guys in general, they don't really appreciate the chance because they think, oh, it's just taking away from guys' athletics. And no, it was it was guys suppressing women's athletics.
And where it's become. It's been a whole lot different there. There's some challenges, obviously, with the way it's been interpreted in some cases where you have to have an equal number of athletes out there. And football skews those numbers. Let the record show that no federal court has said that that's what the mandate is. At least no court around this area that applies. But it used to be that women were always given kind of the short end of the stick, and that's kind of a changed over the years. And again, before Title IX, not only were there not women's athletics, but you were female, you were told what certain classes you had, and none of them were going to be auto mechanics or other things like that. There were girls' classes and there were guys' classes, and that just wasn't the way to kind of do things. And I'm kind of glad that they made those changes. Again, as somebody that had a young woman who graduated from high school, I'm glad Title IX has been able to kind of clean all that stuff up for us.
Yeah, and you see a local story though over in Wood River where Scott Frost's mom was such an exceptional athlete, but she, because of Title IX, wasn't able to participate in sports, so she would have to, you know, sneak on and practice elsewhere because there was no track and field team, there was no basketball team, and in a situation where Title IX gives those athletes the chances now that they never did get way back in the 1970s, it's the 40 years anniversary, and it was a good piece of legislation that was passed by the federal government.
So Kearney Catholic wins the overall both genders U.S. Cellular Cup, and they also win it in the boys division as well. And, you know, the girls were just right there, you know, last year as well. And so far so good, you know, from the Kearney Catholic perspective with the fall season. But obviously a long way to go in this one, as now we'll be making that transition into the winter sports season as well. We still have a little bit of the fall season left. We still have 24 minutes of football to decide who's going to be the Class B state football champion, as Norris and Omaha Gross still battling for a state championship and almost deadlocked. We'll see if that missed extra point comes into play. We'll see if that somewhat phantom touchdown comes into play, as certainly those are both big stories in this game here so far, as the Titans lead the Cougars 7-6 here at intermission. We're going to take one last break, and then we'll be wrapping up our last fall halftime report from Ravenna Sanitation. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. Take one last break, and we'll be back with the second half right after this timeout.
Call it the kickoff, the tip-off, the face-off, whatever your favorite sport, it all starts with the new TM Sporting Goods, now open in the downtown Kearney Center. TM Sporting Goods, the new home of Brooks, Mizuno, Asics, Russell Athletic, Wilson, and Diamond Sports, along with Under Armour, featuring experienced pros like Steve Barinol, Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods is now open on the Bricks, 2217 Central in the downtown Kearney Center. TM Sporting Goods, the division of Pro Team Design. Like them on Facebook for insider information.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back into the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic located in the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic located in the ENT building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, with two locations in Kearney, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game.
Today, more and more people are insuring their homes with us through Auto Owners Insurance. I'm Dave Challey at Barney Insurance. We'll provide low-cost, quality protection, claim service second to none, and if you insure both your home and car through Auto Owners Insurance, you'll qualify for additional premium discounts. Stop by or give us a call at 237-2222. We're Barney Insurance.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. After that long extended halftime, we're now getting everybody all stretched out, and the kickers for Gross are trying to figure out what their range is, and
get things going on here, because it could very well come down to a kick. Again, you have to remember the Cougars did miss an extra point. That's one reason why they, well, that is the reason why they trail by 1 point here. And I don't know, if I'm Norris, I'm practicing my center quarterback exchange quite a bit, and they are actually doing that right down there as we speak. And they had trouble with the exchange right there. And again, I don't know who that's on. You know, I don't know, but Luke Mulholland and Jackson Reitz are down there, and they're practicing what is a very fundamental play. And again, just the way they run the offense, Reitz puts that right leg. He's right-handed. He puts that right leg far behind him, and I don't know if that throws off his balance. I mean, you got to think he's been doing it all year, and it's just amazing to me that they're having that trouble right now.
Well, I hate to speculate. I would think that number 57,
Mulholland,
I would think that that's their normal starting center, because I would hate to think that, like you said, Granny, this is the 13th game of the year. If they're having trouble in the 13th game of the year with snaps, that I guess I don't know. I haven't followed Omaha Gross at all this season other than, you know, the day before trying to do some prep for the game. But
yeah, we don't know who their starting center has been all year, but he is listed as one of the starters.
You're right. So
yeah, so it's strange that this would keep jumping up and getting them here. But you know, they've had the fumble that they lost that turned into the 6 points for Gross. They've also had a couple others that they were fortunate to come up with, and a couple of plays that were disrupted because the snap ended up being almost above the head of Reitz by the time he grabbed the handle on it, and it was too late to hand it off to the fullback that was trying to come through on the play. And it's just, you can't do that. I mean, it's just too late in the year to kind of have those kind of disruptions in a game that's going to be as tough as playing arguably the best team in the state. I mean, this is a dogfight to see who's number one in the state, and you can do that against bad teams. There's no bad teams out here today.
And like we said throughout the weekend, it's been great weather. We've had very minimal, if any, wind. Typically, you'll see the best team win because of that. And in this situation, I don't know if we'll see the best team win or not, because if a simple quarterback center exchange is going to be the reason that that the points are on the board right now for Omaha Gross, and then,
well, maybe that's what that was.
Out there,
the phantom touchdown on one end of the field, the phantom snap on the other side of the field that led to a touchdown. Maybe it's all a wash. Maybe it's all a wash. Maybe that's just the football gods basically saying, let's bounce this thing off. Gross to kick off here to start the second half. A high kick going to be picked up by Norris. And with it is Trey Hare. Hare coming right up the middle, and he'll bring it across the 25 to about the 27, and somehow squirts out to the 30-yard line. How did he get through there? As he just kind of ran over the top of the pile, and that's actually a very impressive run out to the 31-yard line.
Yeah, just kept moving his feet. You know, if you're not down, just keep going. You might get an extra few yards there. So good return there by Hare, and like you said, Randy, I think it's a wash. I think we just throw away that first half.
There you go.
Both teams just had some miscues. It's a new half. Let's see who's the state champion for Class B.
Start fairly even here. A one-point lead here for the Titans, who have it now first and 10 from the 31-yard line. Number one, Jackson Reitz, will step in under center, and he'll get the snap, pitch it back out here for Kruger. Kruger trying to get the corner, cuts back to the inside, and he'll be knocked down at about the 35. They'll see exactly where they spot it, just short of the 35-yard line. Just a quick little pitch, and that's about as much outside as they run, because they ran that one right off tackle, but they had two lead blockers there, and it came back in on the hash mark.
Yeah, I think that's only their second pitch to the outside with Kruger. I think it's mostly off tackle or the trap game with Davis, the throwback.
So they gain four on the play. That'll set up second and six here. Again, they go with that Maryland eye and two tight ends. And quarterback will hand it off in underneath. And Kruger coming right up the middle. He'll gain about another 4 yards. And that'll set up third and two. And again, it makes sense. We're watching the Titans here. Remember the Titans. There's that line that Coach Boone had. It's as steady as Novocaine, it's just coming right at you. There's nothing fancy about this offense, but it's going to set up here third and about 1 yard on the play. A little homage to my daughter's favorite movie, by the way. Two tight ends, Maryland eye, Reitz under center, Kruger in the eye, hand off to Kruger. Kruger met at the line of scrimmage, pushes the pile forward for about a yard and a half, 2 yards, and he's got more than enough for the first down. They're moving the chains already. They don't even have to take a look at that, as he's got it by a good half yard or so. And we'll stop the clock with 10:36 to go here in the third quarter. 7-6, Norris leading Gross in the Class B state championship game.
Pretty nice first set of downs there for Norris. Nice moving the chains, you know, just running their slow offense.
And again, I have a feeling they're going to assert themselves here in the second half, from what I've seen here in the first half anyway. They hand off to the fullback coming through there, and Nick Davis comes up and gains just a couple of yards. Gross doing a nice job of tightening things down here a little bit. And again, what you like to see if you're Norris is you keep bringing them in. Keep bringing them in the box. Keep having Gross tighten it up. You know,
work the ball,
and then you can pop that big hitter.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at the field. Basically, you can keep all 22 guys within about 10 yards there. And if you hit, like that one play where Hood just snuck behind the defense, that's a huge play.
And they knew they were going to throw there because they were not in this formation. They're going to keep it. Quarterback's going to keep it. Jackson has it. He's going to pitch it out to Kruger. Kruger turns the corner, and he's down the sideline. He's tripped up by the hair of his chinny chin chin as he falls down after brings it across midfield to about the 44-yard line. And again, that was a well-designed play as he ran inside. The quarterback ran inside and was able to pitch the ball back out to Kruger as they actually optioned the secondary.
Yeah, and it's sometimes the option. It looks so simple at home. All you got to do is pitch it, but you got to time that thing perfectly. You got to be a good quarterback to run the option.
And a good pitch relationship there by Kruger as well. Again, they go with that Maryland eye, hand off to Davis in underneath, and that was disrupted by the penetration in underneath there by Noah Aronson. Aronson, great defensive penetration, disrupted that play for no gain.
Yeah, that's the second time Artson's made a tackle on Wiseman this drive on that trap play, because in the first half it was seemingly working like clockwork, and now number 74 Artson for Omaha Gross Catholics had about enough of that.
He's just going right off that left guard for Norris. Again, two tight ends, Maryland eye, little counteraction. This time keeping it on the option is going to be Jackson Reitz, and that had enough defensive speed there for Gross that there wasn't the option the ability to really run that option because too much pressure came from out there. And now that personnel change here for the Titans, as they're going to go with a passing formation here on 3rd and 9 from about the 42-yard line.
Yeah, nice play there by Vigneri there coming up from his linebacker position making the play.
So Reitz is going to be in the shotgun. Kruger is going to be right behind him. As there's trips to the left, one wide receiver to the right. They're going to run to the left, and the pass is tipped by the defensive back as it was deflected there by Zach Nicky. Now, Nicky's got a couple of interceptions here, and he tipped that one away. It was actually there was one white jersey amid three that were around the intended receiver there. That's a bit of a dangerous pass as he was trying to throw it in there, but Nicky was able to deflect it and force it to be incomplete. So clock stopped with exactly 8 minutes to go here. Punting situation as Reitz, also the punter here, and Reitz will put his foot into it right at midfield, kick it from the 50-yard line, and a knuckleball punt that comes right up the middle, and it is going to be fair caught there by Nate Zimmerer. Don't say that 10 times real fast. Zimmerer.
Well, it looked like he called for a fair catch, and he tried to run for it afterwards. I don't know.
Further back, and so he actually had to run up and make it, and he couldn't stop on a dime there. There's Sean Callahan, and he's a regular for the Husker Lunch that we have over at Cunningham Journal. He was there last week, so this week it'll be Sip.
Yep.
We'll have Steve Sipple tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show beginning at 11 o'clock.
Right here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
As the producer of the show.
Yeah, we'll be live on location at Cunningham's. Join us from 11 to 12 with Doug Duda and the Randy Bushcutter joining me in the broadcast booth tonight.
Yeah, we get to do that tomorrow,
too. You get to preview Iowa.
Yeah, I think, you know,
is it a trap game? Or?
Yeah, it's always a trap game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bowl game for Iowa. And, again, I think that's what Coach Pelini tells his kids. That's the bowl game for Iowa. it's a big deal for them. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal for us because we could, if Nebraska loses to Iowa, and then Michigan State is able to get their way past Ohio State, then Michigan goes to the Big Ten championship game, and Nebraska is watching it on TV again. So finish the deal. Finish the job. That what was their goal all year, was to win the division and then the rest of the conference. So I don't think it's a trap game. I really don't.
I tend to agree with you.
So after a little bit of a stoppage of play here with 7:53 to go here, they finally will give the ball to Gross as they pitch the ball back out, and trying to find a little seam out there was
Sullivan, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Sullivan, and they don't give him the ball that often, as Matthew Sullivan carries the ball.
Carry.
Yeah, only the 30th carry on the season, so surprised that he was in the eye. That's what kind of threw me off here a little bit. Vigneri has been doing most of the work here.
Did he go out or something, or was he hurt?
Well, Vigneri is out there right now. He's just to the right of Jonk, who's in the shotgun here. And Jonk is going to roll out to his right, throw it in underneath. It is going to be caught and enough for the first down, as they were able to connect with Zach Nicky. And Nicky makes the catch and is forced out of bounds. That was well covered, but, you know, if you throw the ball perfectly, it is awfully tough to stop a passing game that operates as efficiently as Gross did on that play.
Yeah, sometimes those short to intermediate routes, what they do is they're easy completions, and they get minimal yardage, but they get that confidence up, and the quarterback thinks, hey, this is easy. All I got to do is just dink and dunk, and we'll be fine. We'll move those chains.
Vigneri out of the Wildcat is going to run to his right, takes the direct snap, and he'll be pulled down after he crosses the 30-yard line, as he is tackled there by Jackson Reitz. And Vigneri brings it across the 30-yard line. Only a gain of about two there. And so, again, you see the diversity here of the Omaha Gross attack, as they didn't have Vigneri in the eye earlier, and now they have him run the Wildcat. And they make some more substitutions out there, and Jonk calling out the play. And he's going to be the only back in the backfield here. They dump the backfield, trips to the right, which is the short side of the field, and they're going to throw a quick little hitch on that left side, and dancing around there is Nicky after he makes the tackle, and he is going to be awfully close to the first down here. He's going to set up now third and short.
That was a nifty move by Nicky after making the catch and then making the first guy miss, and then, like you said, getting very, very close to the first down sticks. It's going to be about a yard short here, but it's going to be third and manageable here.
You spread out the field enough like that, you're going to have a one-on-one situation somewhere, and in that case, it was Zach Nicky had the one-on-one, made the first guy miss. Help came, but it's now third and one from the 37. Under center here is going to be Jonk. Jonk hands the ball off to Vigneri. Vigneri off tackle, has more than enough for the first down. He brings it out to the 45-yard line. Will be first and 10 for Omaha Gross, and this may very well be their best drive of the game so far.
Yeah, so far they've been hitting pretty much on all cylinders this drive, both running and passing. Vigneri's been getting involved, and then their quarterback's been throwing the ball fairly well as well. So, like you said, just their most fluent drive of the game so far.
And again, if they can assert themselves, they can take that lead right back here. It's 7-6, 5:31 to go here in the third quarter. Gross down by a point. They're in the shotgun. Quick little pass on that left side. Comes out here to Vigneri. Vigneri breaks one tackle, bounces out to the outside, and he brings it across the 40-yard line where he's finally knocked down, but a nice gain of about 17 on the play. It'll be first and 10 here for Gross.
It's a nice play there. You know, Vigneri's kind of been your go-to guy today, so they got him out there in the open space, and he made a couple guys move, miss, and then he had a chance there. He tried to cut it upfield, maybe lost his balance a little bit, but great job getting Vigneri the ball in space where he can make some plays.
So it'll be first and 10 from about the 39-yard line, and we've got a timeout here for Norris. And again, one of those moments where one team's building momentum, the other one calls the timeout to try to stop that momentum. It's Norris 7, Omaha Gross 6, with 5:14 to go here in the third quarter. First and 10 from the 39 when we come back right after this timeout.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln, the last high school football game of the fall. And you said...
Well, I was just saying off air with you, you know, we're in the fall season. It came to a quick end, it felt like. I mean, it's been 13 weeks. But, you know, the winter sports, they've been practicing for a while. We've seen two basketball-like timeouts. With the offense was driving well, and so the defense took the timeout. Transition from the fall season football with the winter-like basketball timeout.
This was a very basketball-like timeout. I formation, they're going to pitch the ball out to Vigneri, to Sullivan rather. Sullivan off tackle, and he has got enough for the first down. He's pulled down at about the 25-yard line. And that one was just the way you drew it up. I mean, it was well blocked, nothing fancy about it. Just get Matthew Sullivan out there in space. And just a nice little lead block out there, nice solid gain, sets it up first and 10 from about the 24-yard line.
Yeah, nice shot by Sullivan, too, coming in, seeing limited carries all year, and he had two big runs so far this game.
Yeah, in this drive right here. They're going to hand the ball out to Vigneri. Vigneri, they take a shot at him right at the line of scrimmage. He slips off of that and is able to lunge forward for maybe a gain of about three. Reitz came through there on kind of a run blitz and took out one shoulder pad, but that good hard running of Vigneri gets him enough to gain about 3 yards on the play and keep them on schedule.
Yeah, and it's been a nice slow drive here, been looking good. They've been hitting all cylinders, and they're just about ready to crack into the red zone.
Eight plays, 62 yards so far here on this drive for Gross. Out of the shotgun, Jonk is going to roll to his right. He's going to throw it in underneath, and it is incomplete. Very similar to the one that was called a touchdown earlier. It was caught for a moment, and then when Zach Nicky hit the turf, that ball bounced out. He had it when he went down to the ground, didn't have it when it came back up.
Yeah, he just hit off his leg there. And Nicky, he dropped that one, but Reitz is throwing the ball. Nicky knows how to catch the ball, but when his own guy gets it, doesn't quite hang on to it there.
Yeah, Nicky's got two interceptions here, and Gross taking their time now. They actually know exactly how much time they have left because they are using the 25-second play clock here at Memorial Stadium, and they break the huddle. They've got 6 seconds left, and you can hear the cheers for the Norris defense here. Quick pitch back out to Vigneri. Vigneri cuts back to the inside, and he's going to bring it across the 15-yard line. Boy, that's going to be awfully close. He has to get to the 14, and they are spotting it at the 14, and the white hat doesn't even really take a good look at it at all. He just signals for the first down here as the nose of the ball is inside the 14. So where the ball is spotted, it is enough for the first down. So it'll be first and 10 from the 14 here for Omaha Gross as they continue to eat up time and also move the football. They've got it now. First and 10 from the 14. Inside of 4 minutes to go here in the third quarter. They'll move the tight end to the left side. And they're going to hand the ball off right up the middle to Vigneri. Vigneri down to about the 5. Good solid gain of 8. And now the fans on the far side, they really cheer because Omaha Gross right now, they're the ones asserting themselves with their offensive line.
Yeah, kind of a reversal in the first half. Norris's offensive line was pushing Omaha Gross back 2 or 3 yards. And a nice big hole there for Omaha Gross to run through. And what's nice about this is the first down marker is at the, looks like the 3.5-yard line. So even if they don't score here, they can get another fresh set of downs. Basically, they get 6 cracks at it if they can pick up the first down.
So it's going to be second and very short. Pitch back out to Vigneri. Vigneri is hit behind the line of scrimmage. Great penetration over there. And the tackle is finished by Terrell Murray. And the penetration, I think, also came in there by Jordan Vietz as well. They lost yards on that play, so that changes things here a little bit. Now it's going to be 3rd and 3, and it kind of changes the complexion of this series right now.
Yeah, because I don't know if you're in 4 territory. I mean, you got a good kicker, so you could probably take the points here, but a chance to pick up a first down and a touchdown are just right there. So it's going to be something they want to talk about for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, 3rd and 3, timeout for the Cougars. 2:40 to go here, 3rd quarter. They trail it 7-6, but Omaha Gross is driving. They call a timeout here on 3rd and 3. We're back right after this.
A year ago, 6-year-old Nebraska fan Jack Hoffman suffered a seizure. Diagnosed with brain cancer, Jack Story touched Cornhusker All-American Rex Burkhead and the hearts of the Husker Nation. As a result, we at Platte River Radio and other Husker-affiliated radio companies are supporting the sale of Team Jack T-shirts. $10 from each shirt purchase benefits the CureSearch Team Jack Legacy Fund to fight pediatric cancer. Shirts are on sale now, where Husker merchandise is sold at Allen Superstore of Hastings. See complete information at Team Jack on Facebook.
In a rapidly moving 3rd quarter, a drive right now for Omaha Gross. They've got it now 3rd and 3 from about the 7-yard line. 2:40 to go here, and this is just the second time that Gross has had their hands on the football here in the 3rd quarter, and they've done a nice job of driving. Almost 8 minutes on the drive so far. They've got the ball at 7:53, so they've had the ball for about 5 minutes, over 5 minutes so far on this drive. And they need to get points out of this, so you don't want to be real crazy with what you want to do. You don't want to turn it over here because you got a good kicker. But if you get 3rd and 3, you have the opportunity to go up by the touchdown. So they're thinking touchdown, no doubt about it right now. They have 2 wideouts to the right, and they're going to hand the ball off right up the middle. And Vigneri, boy, he is awfully close. It depends on the spot. He brings it inside the 5-yard line. He's got to get it to about the 3.5, and that, to me, from where they got it spotted, is enough for the first down. And I don't know. I haven't seen them drop the chains on that far side. Now they do. They do drop the chains, and they say it is enough for the first down. The nose of the football is just outside the 3-yard line, and the yard marker was about the 3.5. So I'm surprised
they don't
bring the chains out there, and I never saw them indicate the first down. They just moved the chains there. So 1st and goal from the 3. Jonk going to keep it. Jonk going to cut back inside, and he's going to be met at the line of scrimmage. No gain. It'll be 2nd and goal from the 3.
Yeah, nice job there by 74. Terrell Murray there for Norris, not letting Jonk get in the end zone. A big stick. Drove him back and didn't let him get but more than about a yard there.
They actually gave him, I didn't think he got that much, but because I'll tell you, there wasn't any yards after contact there, that's for sure, because Murray came in there and laid the wood onto Jonk here. So, again, it's on schedule. You got 3 plays for sure to get 3 yards, and they'll be 2nd and goal now from the 2-yard line. Jonk will step in under center. He's going to pitch the ball back out on the run here. Is going to be no room at all for Vigneri, as Vigneri actually might lose about a 0.5 yard on the play. Good team speed there for Norris as they make the tackle on that outside pitch to Vigneri.
Yeah, I was going to say right before that, we should probably get the ball to Vigneri, get him in space, and that's exactly what they did. But like you said, team speed, Preston Price came up from his position, and it did not let Vigneri get in the end zone. Brings up 3rd and goal here.
3rd and goal from the 2. This could be a huge goal line stand for Norris. A key play in this game. Inside of 1 minute to go, 3rd quarter. 1-point ball game. Gross down 7-6. They've got it 3rd and goal. Vigneri, the handoff. Vigneri, great contact. Drives through there in for the touchdown. He was hit short of the goal line. Was able to slide off that intended tackle and got into the end zone comfortably to put the Cougars up now 12-7. Remember, they missed the extra point, so I think they're probably going for 2 here.
Yeah, what a great run by Vigneri. Like he said, he hit one guy, then he hit another guy, and he just drove himself into the end zone. Vigneri's been the kind of guy that we've seen get open in space and make some plays. Right there, he showed his strength and just powered his way into the end zone. And I think you're right, Randy. I think you got to go for 2 here, because if you kick the extra point, you're still up one possession. If you get it here, you're going to force the other team to kick the extra point.
They are going to put the ball on the left hash here. And, again, that's the option of Gross. So they put it in the left hash. They only have 7 seconds left as they break the huddle. There's 4 seconds left, 3 seconds left. They're not going to be ready. They have to call a timeout. Otherwise, they would have had a 5-yard penalty and make that try for 2 even that more difficult. So they have to call the timeout here on the 2-point conversion attempt. 46 seconds to go here in the quarter. Obviously, the clock won't run on the conversion try. And the conversion attempt, very crucial here, because they don't get it. the Titans, they get a touchdown, they immediately would already be up by a point. They would probably go for two, and now you're up by a field goal. So this is a very crucial play here for the Cougars with 46 seconds to go here in the third quarter. And again, Gross just wasn't really sure what they wanted to do. And so instead of making a mistake, they call the timeout. But now they only have one timeout left to go here in the ball game.
Yeah, it's week 13. You know, we've seen trouble with the snap for Norris so far. And then your clock management issues here for Gross, where you're going to use that timeout and you're only going to have that one. And this ball game looks like it's going to come down to timeouts might need be important for your defense. So we'll see. We'll see if it comes back to haunt them. We can't tell now, but what we can tell is they're going to go for two for sure.
And they have it on that left hash mark, and we'll see whether or not they roll out their right-handed quarterback to the right. They break the huddle very quickly, and they're going to pitch the ball out to Vigneri, and Vigneri, he's going to get in there easily. Quick little snap to Zach Jonk. Jonk just got it, quickly pitched it out on their right side to Vigneri. Vigneri goes in for the two-point conversion, and the Cougars with a seven-point lead. Second time they've led in the game. They led 6-0, and now they lead by seven. It's 14-7, 46 seconds to go in the third quarter. They'll kick it off to the Titans when we come back right after this.
Call it the kickoff, the tip-off, the face-off, whatever your favorite sport, it all starts with the new TM Sporting Goods, now open in the downtown Kearney Center. TM Sporting Goods, the new home of Brooks, Mizuno, Asics, Russell Athletic, Wilson, and Diamond Sports, along with Under Armour, featuring experienced pros like Steve Barinol, Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods is now open on the Bricks, 2217 Central in the downtown Kearney Center. TM Sporting Goods, the division of Pro Team Design. Like them on Facebook for insider information.
Seth Johnson is your Channel Seed dealer, located at the end of Main Street in Hildreth. But Channel Seed is not just another seed company. What sets them apart is they listen. Around the kitchen table or at a backyard barbecue, that's the secret to understanding farmers' needs, interests, and concerns. Go see Zeke today at the end of Main in Hildreth.
Welcome back here to Memorial Stadium as the kickoff being taken out to about the 30-yard line by Norris. That was Trey Hare. A 16-play, 83-yard drive that used over 7 minutes off the clock, giving Omaha Gross the lead here at 14-7. And then they try a little razzmatazz on the kickoff return that brings the ball out to about the 28-yard line. So that drive by Gross kind of asserted the Gross offensive line as being somewhat dominant here. And now we'll see if the Titans can reassert their line dominance here. They go and hand the ball off to Cougar. Cougar brings it across the 30-yard line. He has a nice little gain of about four on the play, and they'll stop him there. Clock's still running as they're still trying to track down the football, and they haven't started the 25-second play clock just yet because they haven't set the ball down. And actually, they stopped the clock to set the ball, and now there is going to be a difference of about 3 seconds. So Norris will have to snap the football here as we are now late in the third quarter. It'll be second and seven from about the 31-yard line. Again, two tight ends, Maryland I. Reitz under center, hands the ball off here for Kruger, and Kruger is going to take it right up the middle, and he'll be stopped short of the 34-yard line, and that'll set up now third and five as we end the third quarter. The Cougars with a touchdown late in quarter number three, and they'll head to the fourth quarter. Omaha Gross leading the Titans of Norris 14-7 as we head to the fourth quarter. Still a Class B championship to be won by somebody. One of these two teams will win their first state championship in the lifetimes of these players, as Gross looking for their first ever state title. Norris looking for their first one since 1979. We'll crown a champion. We come back right after this.
Ravenna Sanitation provides the perfect solution for any solid containment requirement. From the old shingles off your roof to a remodeled job, Ravenna Sanitation delivers a roll-off box to your house or side of the project. You fill it up and they pick it up. No more making several trips back and forth to the dump. Rely on Ravenna Sanitation to take care of it for you. Ravenna Sanitation is the quality, dependable trash hauling service you've been looking for. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County.
Wouldn't it be great if the process of buying a car was black and white? At the new Hastings Ford Lincoln, we take the bull out of the equation. The truth is, every car dealer knows their best price. They just hope you'll pay more. They also know what your trade is worth. They just hope you'll take less. Let us show you how we do business. Our advantage is black and white, just like our showroom seating. We're the new Hastings Ford Lincoln, and at HastingsFordLincoln.com.
Well, these two programs have really acquitted themselves very nicely here in the Class B State Championship game. The Cougars of Omaha Gross leading the Titans of Norris by a score of 14-7. You know, several years ago, Norris hit by that terrible tornado. Fortunately, no lives lost, but took out much of the school, and they've had the rebuild since then. And last time they played in the state championship was the last time they won a state playoff game, which was 1979. They won the Class B title back in 1979, and Gross played for the state championship back in 1983. They lost in that state championship game, and this is their first trip back into the finals since then. So a new state champion of sorts to be crowned here tonight. They split out one wide to the right, but they go with that Maryland eye, and looking to throw here is going to be Reitz, and Reitz makes the connection, and there will be a first down here as they got it over to Gutzmer, and Gutzmer makes the catch, and that'll set up now first and 10. Nice third down conversion there for the Titans.
Yeah, nice quick one-step drop, got it to Gertz in the flat there, and Gertz made a nice stiff arm, got behind the sticks. It kind of surprised us because, you know, you don't expect the pass too much from this Norris offense. So it was, when they did do it, that was a good job getting it quickly out of the hands there.
And the first time that they've had that formation where they split one wide out. They've gone with a passing formation late in the second quarter. Other than that, it's been this two tight end, Maryland eye, hand off to Kruger right up the middle. And Kruger coming just short of midfield. They're going to give him the ball down to about the 49-yard line. So that'll be a gain maybe of about three on the play. And, again, staying on schedule here if you're Norris, as now they want to work the clock a little bit.
Yeah, and Kruger, he's coming into the day with over 2,000 rushing yards, and right now that was his 20th carry, and he's just over 85 yards. So a good job by Gross effectively limiting.
Slowing him down a little bit.
A little bit.
So, again, they go with that Maryland eye, two tight ends, Kruger. Nope, they fake the handoff to Kruger, and Reitz keeps it. Reitz somehow slipping through there, ends up gaining about five extra yards. I thought they had him stop right at the line of scrimmage, and he was able to kind of slide through. They never really wrapped him up. They made contact with him, but they didn't bring him down, and he just kept sliding through there and keeping those legs driving.
Yeah, there's one missed tackle in the back, so he'll have an ankle, and then it seemed like everyone just thought that someone else would do the job and not tackle him. There just seemed to be a lackluster effort there, so good job by Reitz, though, picking up that first down when it looked like he was going to get stopped.
Kind of pinballed around there. It'll be first and 10 from the 43-yard line as they're across midfield. They're going to hand it off to Kruger. Kruger right up the middle, and he is going to be stopped at the line of scrimmage and slides off there as a doctor having stopped at about the 40-yard line. But he's able to slip through there, gain a couple extra yards, as they'll bring the ball down to about the 38. And that'll set up now second and 5. So, again, you look out there in Norris, you're thinking, oh, they didn't get a whole lot out of that. But, again, they just kind of flow over that tackle and find that seam, and they end up gaining a couple of extra yards, and that adds up time after time, play after play. Again, they'll go with that Maryland eye. Kruger with the handoff, off tackle. He's going to be stopped at about the 35-yard line and then push the pile forward for another 3 yards. And if they spot it, they're going to spot him just short of the first down. That's not where he ended up, I didn't think. I thought he got another yard after that. But they're going to be just short of the first down here, a gain of 4 on the play. It's 3rd and 1 from the 34.
Going back to your previous point there, I mean, it seems to be, it's not pretty, it's not sexy. But what they do is they just keep going at you and getting 3 and 4 at a time. Like you said, it just keeps adding up, and it works.
And again, that tight Maryland eye. Quarterback keeper, enough for the first down there as that line surge got Reitz out to about the 31.5-yard line. And so they've got more than enough. They're already picking up the sticks on that far sideline. They'll stop the clock with 9:39 to go here. Omaha Gross 14 and the Titans of Norris 7 as they'll stop the clock, move the chains, first and 10 here for Norris.
I don't want to jinx them, but there's been nothing but good handoffs so far in the second half for Norris.
Yeah, all the exchanges, the quarterback-center exchange, there hasn't been a problem with them in the second half. That's not something you should have to worry about jinxing.
Yeah, I know.
For whatever reason, they had problems with it in the first half, though. Again, Kruger's going to get the handoff, tries to cut back in the inside. He's met at about the 30-yard line, and for a change, he doesn't gain an extra 2-3 yards after that first contact as they finally were able to kind of come through there as the back end of the football is at the 30. And so that'll be a gain of about 2.5 yards. It'll set up now. We'll call it 2nd and 8.
Yeah, a lot of off tackle. I'd like to see maybe trying to get Kruger the ball in open space, maybe get him a toss play or something like that.
Well, they did run that option at one time, which I thought was very, very effective. They go two tight ends, Maryland I again, Reitz under center. He's going to hand it off to Kruger. Kruger met in the backfield, and now they just kind of push the pile forward, and he's going to gain a couple of extra yards there, and that was done by, you know, the extra backs running through there, trying to make sure nobody could actually tackle him. The linemen still working through there. That isn't just the work of James Kruger, but Kruger kept pushing through there as well.
I was going to say, a lot of it is a lot of the help, too, but like I was watching. A lot of that was still Kruger, though. He ran into his defender, and he just kept plugging along, got an extra 2 yards.
And those offensive linemen, after the contact and it stopped, they're still trying to push the pile forward as well. Here, 3rd and 4 from the 26. Flag on the play, going to stop things, and that, most assuredly, is going to be on the offense. And that is going to be on the Titans. So they're going to make some changes to their package here as they're going to go with that passing formation. Whenever they bring those four players in and four players off, you know that this is a different look here. As checking back into the game is going to be Trey Hare, and Hare doesn't get out there a whole lot except in passing situations. He's going to be split out wide to the left. Shotgun formation here for Reitz. As they go trips to the left, one to the right, and Reitz gets the snap, rolls to his left. Kruger picks up a block, throws it in underneath. Pass is caught, and it's going to be short of the first down. They got it to A.J. Floodman. Floodman made the catch, was actually only about a yard short of the first down, tried to run upfield to get the defenders to slide in underneath him, gave up a little bit of ground there trying to get to the first down, and he's well short, and it's going to be fourth down here.
Yeah, and it looked like he fielded the ball a little funny, but like you said, it looked like he was just about a yard short, and he tried to run the wrong way for some reason, and he's going to make it fourth and about four instead
trying
of about
to get the defense to slide in underneath him and kind of miss him. So they're going to go for it here on 4th and 4. Out of the shotgun is Reitz. He'll take the snap. He's got time to throw, and the connection is not made. It goes through the hands of Floodman and out of bounds. I don't know if Floodman was able to get more than just the fingertips on it as that pass falls incomplete with 7:02 to go. Now, remember the previous drive for Gross, they held on to the ball for over 7 minutes, drove it 83 yards for the touchdown that gave them the lead. Something similar to that right here could ice a state championship for Omaha Gross, something that they have not ever had in school history.
Yep, the last drive took 7 minutes and 7 seconds. This one's only got 7:02 left. So if you're right, Randy, if they have an exact duplicate of that drive, this game's over.
Yeah, even if it's just a field goal, and that would be huge here, make it a two-possession game. They go out of that Wildcat formation, running right up through the middle is going to be Vigneri, and Vigneri is going to be pulled down at about the 29-yard line. And so that'll be a gain of about 2.5 yards or so. Well, they didn't get to the 29. They only gave him the 28. So that's a gain of only about 2. And that'll keep that clock moving here with 6:38. Now, Norris has 2 timeouts left. And we still have half of a quarter left here. So there's still plenty of time. But again, that style of football that Norris likes to run, they need a little bit of time. Dropping back to throw the football is going to be Junk. Junk, nowhere to go, throws it, and finally is able to make a connection for the first down in underneath. He was able to buy a little extra time with his feet and then be able to throw the ball in underneath to Joe Conan. So Conan makes the catch, his first catch of the night, just short of the 40-yard line, and that'll move the chains.
Yeah, and I think going back to that false start there on Norris, it looked like they had enough set up that they might have picked that up, and then it turned into a 3rd and 9, and then ultimately didn't convert on 4th down. And then Gross turning this one and making a nice pass play there, that could be huge.
They're going to run the little option, and just off tackle on that left side, not much of a gain here for Gross, as they're going to gain about 2 on 1st down. It'll be 2nd and 8 from the 41, but that clock is moving here. 5:47 to go here in the ball game. And as I said, Norris, they probably need to be comfortable running their offense at least 4 minutes on the clock. Most high school scores come in less than 3 minutes, but again, Norris, with their running style, to run what they want to have a little time left on the clock here. I formation, wideouts either end of the field, and they're going to hand the ball off to Vigneri. Vigneri, nice little seam right up the middle, spins through there and has more than enough for the first down as he brings it across the 50-yard line down to about the 48, a gain of about 11 on the play, and move the chains again here for Norris. And time starting to slip away for the Titans as they need to come up with a stop here. As, again, the last two drives for Gross, their best two drives of the night.
Yeah, and if you're Omaha Gross, nice aggressive run there. But what you want to do is make sure you have two hands on the football, because right now a turnover is not what you need right now.
Two wideouts to the left, tight end on the right side, I formation, pitch out to Vigneri. Vigneri is met actually in the backfield, as he had nowhere to run there, and the tackle was led by Brady Johnson.
Yeah, nice job by Brady Johnson, the 5'11 linebacker coming up, not giving Vigneri anything to work with. The clock's now under 5 minutes, so at what point, I don't think you do it now, but you got to start using those timeouts, I think, if Omaha Gross picks up this first down.
Well, I think after this running play, depending on what happens, if they gain 10 and it looks like they're going to get a first down, you might change your mind. But I think you might see a timeout after this play. Second and 11 from the 49, short loss on the play, I formation, Vigneri with the handoff. Vigneri goes off right tackle, spins, and is able to make a nice little run there, and we'll see whether or not they call the timeout. Clock still moving here with 4:04 to go, and they're going to let the clock run here. It's going to set up now third and about four from about the 42-yard line. I'm a little surprised they don't use one of their timeouts here, but maybe they don't want to give Gross the opportunity to come up with an offensive play that they really want here. Because they get a first down, it's going to make things awfully, awfully tough here for the Titans.
Yeah, they didn't get the 9, like you said, but they got about 7. So it was in that icky situation where if they maybe had the 3 full timeouts, they would have used one, but they only had the 2 left.
So I formation, 2 wideouts to the left. Quarterback going to keep it, and Jonk is going to be knocked down maybe for a short loss.
Preston Price there came up and stopped Jonk. What a play by Preston Price, saving the first down. And it looks like they're not even going to use the timeout here either.
I guess. You know, I mean, that way you're throwing game, you can use the whole field, but they're going to milk the clock is Omaha Gross as they actually send on the punting team. There's 12 seconds left on the play clock. And Norris, they're running their punt team out there as well. And they sprint to the spot here. And in kick formation is going to be Max Connor. Connor gets the snap, and he's going to kick the ball up high. And getting away from it is going to be Norris, and the ball is bounding, and it's going to be down or not? No, they could not down it. Oh, they had the chance of downing it inside the 3-yard line, and they let it get away from them. And that, if the Titans are able to come back in this game, that might be a huge play. I thought they were well positioned to be able to down it inside the 3. It looked like they maybe even got a little greedy trying to down it inside the 1. And they weren't able to stop it at all, and it'll be a touchback.
Yeah, it looked like he had it, but he just was falling into the end zone, and you can't let that ball go into the end zone. Otherwise,
just
it's going to be a
tap
touchback.
It over your shoulder, down it at the 15.
Yeah.
That's still better than out at the 20-yard line.
Down it at the 3 or the 4, like you said. I think they just got a little too greedy there.
So 2:39 to go here. A couple of timeouts left for the Titans, and we'll see what they do here. And they're waving their arms. Is there a timeout?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. They have to call a timeout with the clock stopped. Oh, my. Norris has to call a timeout. They only have one timeout left with 2:39 to go. Not the start to the drive the Titans need. They need a touchdown. They got to cover 80 yards in 2:39, and they have to burn a timeout before they even get started. We'll take a timeout with them. 7-point lead. The Cougars lead it 14-7 over the Titans. We're back right after this.
The most recommended Fall brings a dramatic increase in deer activity. Hi, I'm Doug Keller, owner of Eustace Body Shop.
Last fall, I hit a deer just south of town, and it scared me to death. I called Eustace Body Shop for a tow, and from that point on, I had no reason to worry.
We sincerely hope a collision with a deer never happens to you. But if it does, remember that our 5 locations in central Nebraska can bring you back to factory specs faster. Eustace Body Shop, where we take the dent out of accident.
Well, with that wasted time, in my opinion, now they've got to come out and go with their secondary offense, which is spreading the field. They have 2 wideouts to the right, 2 wideouts to the left. Reitz at quarterback. He'll drop back. He's got a little time to throw. Was able to make a connection on that left side. Pass is complete underneath to Andrew Helmick, and Helmick, trying to get the sideline, is able to get there and stop the clock after a gain of about 7 on the play. Now, again, if you're Gross, you just can't give up here. I mean, you can't give up that much time. I hate the prevent anyway.
Yeah.
And if you give up the big play, hey, you give up a big play, you got a pretty good offense too. But go get these guys. That's always been my opinion. They split 2 wideouts to the right, which is the short side of the field, and wideouts wide light to the left. And the quarterback's going to keep it here. It's Reitz, and Reitz brings it across the 25-yard line. He's actually going to lose maybe about a yard on the play, and that's going to keep that clock moving here. 2:20 to go here in the ball game. Norris trailing it 14-7. They've got the football, and they've got to hurry. They're in the huddle here, and Reitz brings them up to the line. And we'll see what they have to do here. 3rd and 4 from the 26. Shotgun formation for Reitz again. Long count. Gets the snap. Rolls to his left. Pressure coming. Steps. Throws it deep. He's got a guy there. And he overthrows him. Trying to connect with Trey Hare. And actually, there was another guy to the left of Hare that was even more wide open. I don't know how Gross let 2 guys get open on him. But they did. And it falls incomplete.
Well, and like you said, when you put the prevent defense on, you play a little soft. And even on those deep balls, I think you kind of worry about maybe getting a pass interference call, and so you don't play as aggressively as you should.
4th and 4 now. So, I mean, it comes down to this with only 1 timeout left. Anytime the Titans have to give up the football might be the very last time that they've got it. So 4th and 4, Reitz is in the shotgun. He's going to take the snap. He throws, delivers it in underneath. It is caught and lunging for the first down. Is going to be Norris's A.J. Floodman. Floodman had it when he caught it, and again gave up just a little bit of ground and then realized I can't do that and lunged back forward. So more than enough for the first down. It'll be 1st and 10 now from the 33-yard line. Clock moving now with 1:40 to go. Shotgun again here for Reitz. Down by a touchdown. He'll take the snap and roll to his right. He'll step up and throw. He's got a man, and it is tipped and incomplete. Making the defensive play was Jacob Johnson. If Johnson doesn't deflect it, and he barely did, that would have set up Trey Hare with nobody behind him.
Yeah, it was that same pass play where they had that same route in the middle open. He decides to throw to the other guy this time, and the Gross defender tried to jump the route. It was very dangerous, almost let Reitz complete that pass. That would have been huge because then you're on their side of the field. You can go up and spike the ball.
So 1:31 to go here. 2nd and 10 from the 33. They still have 67 yards to cover here. Rolling to the right is going to be Reitz out of the shotgun. Throws it in underneath, and it is off the fingertips of the intended receiver, Andrew Helmick, and that'll stop the clock. That'll make it 3rd and 10.
You know, and with an offense like Norris, where all they do is that running back, Maryland, I look, you can kind of tell they've got basically 2 or 3 design pass plays. You kind of see them just trying to mix them up here, but 3rd and 10, 4-down territory for Norris. It's going to be you want to try and get out of bounds if you can here so you can save that timeout.
But first things first, you must get a first down. Shotgun formation, trips to the right, 1 to the left. Wide side is to the right, and they throw it a quick little slant, and it goes through the hands of A.J. Floodman and incomplete. So, again, a crucial 4th down play here for Norris. And if Gross can make the play here, they can run out the clock with only 1 timeout left.
Yeah, and it just, I think the slant route was there. It just hit him in the hands, and then in a situation like that, you catch the ball, but if you don't get to the 1st down 6, the clock's going to keep running. You want to try and get these routes near the sidelines.
Well, 4th and 10.
Now you just need the first down,
absolutely,
no matter where.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anytime you don't get a first down is the end of the ball game here with only one timeout left. So fourth and 10, crucial play here. They've converted one fourth down on this drive. Shotgun formation, not much pressure. Retest, time to throw, throws it in underneath. It's short of the first down. Does he get there with the lunge? No, he does not. He's a good yard and a half short. They made the catch in underneath. The coverage was there, and it's a turnover on downs after the pass was complete to Brian Hood, but he does not get enough for the first down. He missed it by a good 2 yards.
Yeah, plenty of time to throw. Like you said, he just get it to the middle in the slant route, and it was there. It just didn't quite get to the sticks. Good job by Nicky and company. Nicky, we've been calling his name a lot, but making a good bunch of plays on defense, and I think that's going to ice this game away. And
solid tackle there. There's one timeout left with a minute 15 to go. They'll take the snap. They'll hand the ball off to Vigneri. Vigneri brings it across the line of scrimmage to about the 38-yard line.
I think you just got to kneel it here.
5 to go. Clock moving.
Run the risk of a turnover.
And the clock is still moving. And now the timeout. If you're going to call timeout, why don't you do it 10 seconds earlier?
You let 5 seconds go.
So the clock will stop with 57 seconds left to go here. And a couple of kneel downs to do it. Well, do the math anyway. 14-7, Omaha Gross with the lead over Norris. 57 seconds to go. Timeout here for Norris, their last timeout of the season, barring some sort of miracle where they come back and force the overtime. And they kneel on it, take them a little time to set it. That'll wind the clock for third down with about 50 seconds left. I think they can kneel on the football.
Yeah, if you kneel it and you the 7 seconds there is the key because it's 25 plus 25, so there's 7 seconds. But like you said,
takes a little time
kneel,
to set the ball.
And if you just hang on to the ball right away and don't give it to the refs yet to quite spot it, you know, a little bit of
a little gamesmanship.
Yeah, there. But
take the snap, step back about 3 yards. Don't be in a huge hurry to kneel on it. When pressure comes, then you kneel.
They are
going to go with the victory formation here. They'll take the snap and they kneel immediately.
If you have to run around for a little bit on fourth down, so be it. But
and you hear the cheers on that far side, the folks in the blue and the burnt orange celebrating pretty good. And they will start the 25-second clock now, and there's a difference of about 16 seconds here. So they can snap the ball anytime in the next 10 seconds, and they won't have to snap it after that. And so they are going to be able to do it here. And the officials did a good job of spotting it. They didn't do it too fast. They didn't do it too slow. They'll kneel on the football, and that's going to be the ball game here. The kneel down and the title to Omaha Gross. Back in 1983, they played in the state championship. Didn't win it, but they win it in 2012. There's still 5 seconds left on the clock, but the celebration is already on the floor of the Memorial Stadium here in Lincoln, down on Tom Osborne Field, as it turns to double zeros on the clock, and the championship is won by Omaha Gross, a final of 14-7 over the Titans of Norris. A great game, well played on both sides. And again, if you're the Titans, you really felt like you kind of controlled things in the first half, only had a one-point lead, and that was tenuous at best. And when they needed to, Gross was able to really exert things with their offensive line and had a very impressive 83-yard, over 7-minute drive, and that's the difference of the ball game. They got the 2-point conversion as well, and they win it by a final of 14-7. And just like that, the fall sports season comes to an end, as we'll hand out the championship trophies here for Omaha Gross and the runner-up here for Norris. And again, what a great finish to the season. The team that comes away with the state championship in Class B, they're the number 5 seed, and the runner-up is the number 10 seed. So again, great matchup here in Class B as we wrap up the high school sports season. Once again, your final, it's Omaha Gross 14 and Norris 7. We'll take a look at the numbers and wrap things up here.
certainly want to say thanks to all of our presenting playoff football sponsors, like the new Hastings Ford Lincoln, where the difference is black and white, T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime, and Dunham Sports, where the big names bring you in and the low prices keep you coming back. We're going to take a break, and we'll return with the Misco Sports postgame report right after this timeout.
New from T&L Irrigation Company and AgSense LLC, it's PrecisionLink, the all-new web-based pivot control system for T&L pivot systems. The PrecisionLink, combined with T&L's Precision Point Control 3, allows you to efficiently manage your pivot start-stop, direction, application rate, speed, and water pump control with your mobile device or computer. Talk to your local T&L dealer today about the all-new PrecisionLink. T&L Irrigation, proven technology that works and is easier on you for a lifetime.
I asked my husband if I can join his fantasy league this year. He just laughed. Little did he know, I've been going to Cunningham's Journal for lunch every week. The perfect place for sports fans like myself to keep up with my favorite teams, and not to mention the food is so good. Anyways, a fantasy spot opened up, and guess who's laughing now? And winning. If you're an ultimate sports fan, enjoy a good lunch, a drink with friends, and live entertainment. The place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
And welcome back here to Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. A final of 14-7, a great defensive struggle between the Cougars of Omaha Gross, and just look at him celebrating over there, as well as the Titans of Norris High School. 14-7, the final here as Gross comes up with the win. Let's give you the scoring summary. After a fumbled snap gave them the short field, Omaha Gross was able to capitalize with an Anthony Vigneri 3-yard run that made it 6-0, as the point after was no good with 9:52 to go in the second quarter. And then on the final play of the nearly the final play of the first half, Brian Hood hit a 37-yard pass from Jackson Reitz. The kick was good. That made it 7-6 at intermission. And then a very impressive 16-play, 83-yard drive that took 7:07 off the clock. Anthony Vigneri again with a touchdown run from 2 yards out with 46 seconds to go in the third quarter. That made it 14-7, and that is our final score in this one, 14-7, as Omaha Gross comes up with the win, and a very impressive performance tonight. Really, both well-played games for both these two teams. And then I really had the feeling that Norris was becoming the dominant team up front. Well, Gross flipped the script in that third quarter on that 16-play drive, as they pretty much just ran right over Norris for those 16 plays and go 83 yards for the touchdown drive that wins them their first state championship in school history. They were Class A runners-up back in 1983. Well, now they're the Class B champions here in 2012. And Norris, what a great run for them. They tried to come up with their first state championship since 79. So any way you look at it, some new faces here in Class B. And both these two teams, very senior-dominated. So we're probably going to see a couple of different teams here next year, more than likely, in Class B. And it might be just as open next year as it was this year.
And a lot of times, like you said, these teams are very senior-laden, and sometimes we thought maybe Elkhorn would be the team to beat this year, but they only have one starter. And so in Class B, if you got all the seniors, those senior leaders, that helps come playoff time, because the experience, it does matter sometimes when you get up into these playoff games. If you've been there before, and these seniors, I mean, this was an excellent game. It was a defensive struggle, like you said, but if you look at the stats, the two that stuck out to me was James Krueger, 24 carries, 103 yards, and Anthony Vigneri, 25 carries, 104 yards. Basically, essentially the same line.
And except for two touchdowns for Vigneri.
Yeah, and I was trying to get to, in the first half, it seemed that's where Norris, like you said, they were controlling the line of scrimmage, and that's probably where Krueger got his lines. And then when they finally got to the second quarter, Omaha Gross and Vigneri got those yards, and they were able to punch those yards into points, because Norris had that one promising drive in that first half, and they turned it over. They had the interception by Nicky there at the 5, and it was just a scenario of Norris had their chances in the first half. They kind of shot themselves in the foot. They caught a break, but they basically shot themselves in the foot one too many times. And then Omaha Gross at halftime, they made the proper adjustments. They came out in the second half. They controlled the line of scrimmage. They scored the touchdowns they needed, and they won this ball game.
Well, let's go through some of the statistics. As Jeff mentioned, James Kruger carried the ball 24 times for 103 yards, 11 carries for 14 yards for Jackson Reeds, as Norris had 14 first downs here in the ball game, carried the ball 42 times for 157 yards. They had another 81 yards in the air for a total of 238 yards of offense. They actually had more offensive yards than Omaha Gross. Gross had 13 first downs. They were 13 rushes for 141 yards, 62 yards in the air. Leading the way for Omaha Gross, Anthony Vigneri, 25 carries for 104 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Zach Jonk carried the ball six times for another 30 yards. In the air, it was Reitz, 7 of 15 with one interception for 81 yards. And Zach Jonk for Omaha Gross, 8 of 13 in the air for 62 yards and a longest pass of 16. And actually, it was Damkroker that had the one pass for an interception. That wasn't a pass by Reitz. It was actually Damkroker who had that one. So two interceptions, really kind of one of the major differences in this game, as four fumbles, one lost for Norris. And so they turned the ball over three times, and Omaha Gross had one turnover. Or did they have a turnover?
I don't think they did.
I don't think they had a turnover.
Yeah, and a little stat, a little fun stat here. Zach Nicky for Omaha Gross, he had the two catches for 18 yards, and he also had two catches when the other team was throwing the ball as well. So Zach Nicky played very well offensively and defensively, made the plays necessary to bring home Omaha Gross's first state championship, the second time they were in the state championship. But congratulations to the Omaha Gross Catholic Cougars. And like you said, Randy, kind of when we were coming back from that break, you could just see on that far sideline just the enthusiasm between the players and the crowd. You could just tell that this, it wasn't a monkey on their back, but like it just been so long, and the community was behind them, and the players just wanted to be that first class to finally break that glass ceiling. And it was just, it's good to see that kind of emotion. And you feel for Norris, you see them over here, you're receiving their silver medals now, and it was a gold medal effort, but just wasn't enough. They didn't make the plays when they had the chance in the first half, and Omaha Gross capitalized in the second half.
Give it a couple days. That silver medal is going to feel a whole lot better than it's going to feel here tonight. And again, for Omaha Gross, that's part of what you love about high school sports. They got done shaking the hands. They did that. They had their little celebration on the field with the players, and then they went out and they shook the hands of the players from Norris and went through there. And when they got done with the last few guys, they shook hands and they kind of going a little bit faster, sprinted around the awards podium and went over to the student body and just had that wonderful moment that just wish somehow you could bottle, because if you could bottle that, you could sell it and make a mint, because there's no feeling like that in the world. Once again, our final in this one, 14-7. As it's Omaha Gross wrapping up our coverage of high school football for the season. The fall sports season comes to an end with Omaha Gross with a 14-7 win over Norris for the Class B State Football Championship. So, again, everything just kind of all wraps up here as we crown all of our state champions. And, again, four of the six state championships belong to parochial schools.
Yep.
Giltner with a 42-26 win in Class D1. Aquinas won C2, 35-20. Elgin Pope John, that's kind of a tie for both public and parochial there, I guess. they won their game 40-14 over Exeter Milligan. Norfolk Catholic earlier today over Boone Central in Class C1, 24-13. Millard North won Class A, 17-14, and a great game last night in Class A. And here, it's Gross over Norris, 14-7. Those are your six state champions you were able to hear right here on PlatteRiverPreps.com online, as well as on the ESPN Superstation back in Hastings and in Kearney. Once again, 14-7, the final here. Jeffs, thanks for joining me. It was fun. You're a good luck charm. You brought me a couple of good games today, and you had that wonderful Class A game last night as well.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. I got to call four games. I kind of got the experience of a lifetime being up here in the press box. And I just wanted to make one quick more note on Norris. Like you said, you know, the silver medal in about 3 to 4 days is going to feel good. And it's going to feel good because in a couple of years, or even right now, because there's 32 or 28 teams in Class B.
32.
there's 30 other teams that are dying right now, watching on TV, wishing they were North, wishing they had that chance. So like you said, in about 3 or 4 days, that's going to feel real good. And then about 5 to 10 years, kind of when you get those high school reunions, remember that time we were out there on Memorial Stadium?
Yeah,
so.
you're even better in the future, I'll tell you that. That's no doubt about it. So congratulations to all of our state champions, and I want to say thanks to all of our sponsors for helping us bring you coverage of high school football and volleyball throughout the course of the year. I'm Randy Bushcutter for Jeff Babel and our engineer, Stacy Johns, back in the studio. Certainly want to thank you all for listening as well. Once again, 14-7, Gross comes away with a state championship here in Class B. Thanks for joining us. Good night, everybody.
The proceeding has been a KXPN Sports production, brought to you by the KXPN Sports Club. To download this podcast or any of the podcasts on our Platte River Radio network of stations, go to ESPNSuperstation.com.
The Tri-City Star invites you to join the chase for your hometown hockey team. Give thanks this week for three chances to watch the Tri-City Star Wednesday night. $1 beer night as the Storm battles the Sioux City Musketeers. Enjoy $1 Bud Light throughout the game. Then don't miss a special Black Friday game against the Omaha Lancers, featuring free tickets for kids 12 and under. And cap it all off with Star Wars night on Saturday.